This week, Godot Games continues its improvements by providing universal cloud save support to every game they sell without the games needing updates to support it. This is just one bonus to delight gamers, and we have much more to tell you about starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 681 for this March 26th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you every week here at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, Sunday nights, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And if you are listening live, you can join us in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Just a quick note for the live listeners. Our website's been acting a little funky today because they've been doing some maintenance. So I've been trying to make the show live so y'all can check in. Because if you didn't know, you can do that. You can actually check in over at vognetwork.com and you get points for listening to the show. And it's same thing on the podcast. If you if you're not able to be here live because you got something else going on Sunday nights, you can listen on the podcast feed. There'll be a little interruption somewhere in the show. And then Jason comes on and says, to register participation, use this passphrase, and he'll tell you what it is, and you just go type it at the main page of vognetwork.com, and you get the same check-in all the live people get. Same, same. So don't say we don't love you, podcasters. But the website's acting funky. I can't turn it live, although it just came up as I've been ranting here, so maybe it was just one of those little hiccups while they've been doing maintenance. So while I mess with that, I should turn over here to my right and introduce Techmaster Loki joining me in studio.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I have food in my mouth.
Yeah, great. So we got all these radio problems going on. We got a busted website.
That's all right.
You're trying to talk with your mouth full. Well, how are you, Loki?
I'm doing fine.
So you were telling me about a trip to the movies?
Yeah, I went and saw Lego Batman yesterday because I wanted to take my son to go see it because my wife doesn't want to go see it. And he always likes going to the movie theaters. So we went and saw that yesterday. And it was fucking awesome because it's the Lego movies. And Lego movies are just fantastic. And what's kind of cool about Lego Batman, though, to... minor spoilers, I guess. There's a lot of different villains from different movie series that come out in this because they go to the Phantom Zone and pull all these bad guys. So it feels a lot like Lego Dimensions the movie if they were going to do that. Minus, of course, you know, Wild Style and, you know, Gandalf and all that shit that are normally in the Lego Dimensions game. But they've got, like, it a lot of humor in it. It's just really funny, especially if you've watched all the other Batman movies, because they make lots of references to stuff that happened in those, and it was pretty awesome.
That's funny that you went to the movies, because you guys know, and I talk about this on a show, I never get to movies anymore, right? So I did get dragged to the movies this weekend. So my buddy Shane, who comes on this show a lot and hosts another show here on the network, Ranger Pridecast, obviously he's very hyped about the Power Rangers movie. So he dragged me to go see that in the fancy new theaters in Sacramento. And if you happen to be a local person, you know exactly which theaters I'm talking about. They tore down what we used to call the boobies because there were these big dome theaters that you could see from miles away. And they were the boobies, right? So they tore down the boobies. They're gone. And then they put these this large, very it's just a very rectangular plain building now. It's not as exciting. But inside, it's super exciting because it has like the recliner seats that full recline. Like I'm talking like Lazy Boys where you put your feet up and all this stuff, which I guess is the new trend in movies.
Yeah.
Do you guys have this in your areas? The like where you can literally put your feet up and lean back and all this? Or is this just like a local thing that's starting to spread?
I imagine
the Bay Area had to probably get it first. Usually they do. But... yeah, so I went and saw Power Rangers in the fancy theater, and I liked it. Like, I know the critics are kind of saying it's kind of a mess, but I liked it well enough. It had issues, but I don't like super get into the show, obviously the same way Shane does, but I'm not a hater either. I'm just like, okay, cool, Power Rangers. I actually think the best way Shane ever kind of like, not that anyone should have to justify their fandom, but, you know, Power Rangers sometimes get seen as more of a kid's show because it's like, what, the Saturday morning show or something, right? But I think the best way he ever justified it in that way and kind of made me go, oh, okay, was when he said, well, people get super into Marvel movies and Marvel heroes, so if these are the heroes you're into, what's the difference? And I was like, all right, fair. You made a good point. So... I went and saw the Power Rangers, just kind of approaching it as a Marvel movie because that's clearly what they wanted it to be. They're clearly trying to make a Marvel franchise.
Everybody's trying to make a Marvel
franchise. Everybody's trying to make a Marvel franchise now, right? So I saw it, and I didn't think it was that bad. I felt that, like, one character was way better developed than the other four. But I'm not going to be spoilery. But I just, it was very obvious, like, one character was, like, really, really well developed. And, like, you know, the audience really, like, sympathizes with this person and gets into it and all this stuff. And then the other four are just kind of like, oh, yeah, here's our little one-note things that make us unique and that whole thing. So, and I liked Rita Repulsa. I like Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa, even though it's, like, totally not the campy version from the 90s TV show, because I do remember that. I've seen enough of the show to know that. Totally different, but, like, I like seeing Elizabeth Banks in a different role, and I think she kind of knew what movie she was in. Like, you know, she knew what it was. So she had fun with it. So, look, I know it's not a movie podcast, it's a video game podcast, but it's inevitable that the two worlds collide once in a while, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So you might be wondering why I have not introduced yet tonight Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Sadly, she is not here on tonight's show, and I know she's very frustrated because she wants to be here with you guys, and she will join us on the Skype line a little later, but I asked her if I could tell you guys what's going on. She said I could, so I'm not telling you all her business without getting permission first, but she ended up in the hospital this week. She had kidney stone. Which, if any of y'all have ever gone through that, you know they're no fun at all. My understanding is it was not large enough to qualify for the little sound thingy that they usually do. So she is currently waiting for nature to take its course. And so she obviously didn't want to do that here. So fair enough. So anyway, we send get well vibes to Dark Sakura, who I think has been dealing with a multitude of afflictions since the beginning of the year. So I want to put that poor girl in the bubble when she's better. Stay safe, Dark Sakura 2017. So anyway, we will hear from her a little later in the show. She's going to call in. And if she happens to be listening, there's a lot of folks in chat that are sending their well wishes. Because again, we do tape live, and you can join us at live.vognetwork.com. Which Stoppy says, that sucks. And Come On, No Gus says, oh no, that sucks, poor Dark Sakura. And on Mass Effect week too, right? Right? That's what I was hoping to get into at the top of the show this week, was talking a little bit about the Mass Effect Andromeda launch. But so here's the other funny thing going on this week. I mean, I don't know if it's the Mass Effect launch to blame for this or what's going on, but, like, everything's broken, you guys. So since we're doing that maintenance, right, over at vognetwork.com that kind of kept the website going up and down, at the time that I usually go in to produce an episode of the show, we don't script the show, obviously, but we do like to have a nice little outline that says Loki's going to talk about this, then Jamie's going to talk about this. We like to have a nice little outline so we don't step on each other's feet and, you know, talk about things twice and so forth, so there's a little order to the show. Couldn't do that tonight because of the maintenance. Oops, I didn't, and they told us about the maintenance on Thursday, but I wasn't thinking at that time, oh, Rob, you're going to need to get in the website then so you can produce the night show. I'm just thinking, oh, good, it'll be done by 5 o'clock when Bobby's live and when we're live, and so it won't really affect the listeners or whatever. So I don't know what we're going to talk about tonight. Loki's put some things together for us, though, and I've agreed to just shut up and comment tonight so that I'm not stealing stories from Loki, and, you know, he can talk about whatever he wants. But if we did a kickoff topic tonight, I probably would have wanted to talk about Mass Effect Andromeda, but unfortunately, Dark Sakura's not here. But obviously, that was a big release that has a lot of people's attention. Although, Loki, I know you're not super into Mass Effect, but has anything about Andromeda kind of caught your eye?
Oh, I got to watch a 20-minute video of all the features.
And when you say features, you mean bugs, right?
Well, it wasn't... Some of it's bugs, and some of it's just, like, story stuff that just doesn't make any sense. And... Like, don't get me wrong, I mean, I've been playing a ton of Skyrim, so I'm well aware of bugs in games and stuff, but it's kind of like, harming the series, I think, you know, the fact that this is the quality that's coming out, and you kind of wonder, like, and I know there's been a lot of people, developers and animators and stuff that have come out in defense of it. It's like, that animation's hard. I get that, but why wasn't it hard for 3, 2, and 1, you know? And now all of a sudden it's really hard. It's just like, especially when you look at, like, the previous game, it's like, holy shit, you know, there's been a very severe downgrade in the quality of, you know, even the facial appearance and everything versus, like, the other games. But I don't know. And some of the, like, story stuff didn't seem to make any sense. Like, the reactions were just, like, kind of, like, they phoned it in, I guess.
Here's the thing. I agree with you and I don't. Like, now that I've spent, and I've spent a good, like, I think I've spent 20 hours, I think is what the clock is up to, and I'm only, like, 23% or something the way through the game. Like, I've probably barely scratched the surface on this. And that's not even counting multiplayer. That's just my single-player file. That's not even counting. I've probably spent easy another 4 hours on multiplayer so far. But anyway, I agree and I don't agree. I think at the end of the day, for me, Mass Effect, and you guys know I'm a fan of the series and have been very vocal of how much I enjoy this series. So if you want to claim that my opinion is biased, I'm using my quotey fingers, then fine. But I can also recognize that this game is not a 10 out of 10. This Mass Effect Andromeda is not going to be a 10 out of 10. I don't think, though, it's 7.5 or whatever Metacritic's saying out of 10 either. We talked about the whole critic thing last week. I'm not going to double talk that too much, but I think the internet is giving this a little bit too much shit unnecessarily. Yes, there are bugs in the game, clearly well documented by some of these GIFs and YouTubes and things. But like you said, there's a lot of games out there that have bugs in them when they come out, and then we hail them as game of the year, Skyrim. Not that I'm excusing the bugs and all that. It's an issue, and it's one of Mass Effect Andromeda's biggest issues. And what I feel is keeping Mass Effect Andromeda from being a 10 out of 10 game, whereas Zelda Breath of the Wild is a 10 out of 10 game.
Yeah, and I think it comes to fandom again, that 10 out of 10, you know, for Zelda, I think a lot of these reviews overlooked those bugs, whereas in Mass Effect, they definitely paid attention to
focus.
The bugs.
Yes, yes. Thank you for saying that, because I absolutely believe some of that is coming into play. And I don't want to turn to the darker things on the internet and the whole, like, social justice warrior versus Twitter and all
this. I don't understand that complaint at all.
I don't, like, fucking quit it. Like, I'm not even going to say much more than that. Like, it just, like, I just, my eyes roll to the back of my head so
far.
What was
the complaint about it? Was it that they're saying that because the social justice warriors were involved in it, that's why the facial animations were terrible? Or are they talking about being able to romance people?
I'm not even fucking sure. Something about BioWare needing to pander to...
Oh, I remember the stupid argument. They wanted to make the characters uglier because apparently social justice warriors are uglier or something, and so
what?
It's the pander. I don't know. The whole argument was, like, very stupid, so okay. I was just like, whatever. I don't understand what the point of this is, but
I fucking can't, and I know it's a radio show, but I am using my hand to throw that out of the ballpark.
It made no sense.
Because, like, I don't give a fuck about all of that.
I don't understand what they were trying to accomplish with the argument, and I don't understand how social justice warriors even come into play at all with this, but whatever.
I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is with the whole animations and all of it. And again, why Zelda is a 10 out of 10 game and why Mass Effect Andromeda is not, okay? The reason is Mass Effect Andromeda should have been delayed again. And I know, out of a 5-year development cycle and right at the end of the fiscal year, that's the last thing you want to hear a fan of the series who's been very adamant about waiting for this game a long time to say, but that's the reality. Because when they delayed Zelda, ain't nobody noting now that Zelda should have been a holiday 2016 game, because everybody's losing their shit over it because it's really good. And what draws a lot of people into Zelda are those little intricacies, right? That cute little fucking dog that chases its tail. The fact that when you walk towards the edge of a bridge, the guardsman will say, no, don't do it, don't jump. Like, those little intricacies in the animations and things like that could only be done because Zelda had time to cook in the oven until it was absolutely finished. Mass Effect Andromeda did not. And that is what's very clear about this game. Because as I'm playing it, I'm going, did anyone at BioWare play this game from start to finish? Because a lot of these issues would have been very obvious. And I'm actually not even talking about the animations and that stuff. I'm going to be honest, that stuff honestly doesn't bother me the way it seems to be bothering a lot of people, because I don't really notice it. I'm not fixating in on 5 seconds that went wrong out of 20 hours that I've been playing. Yes, I noticed in one scene my character was floating when he shouldn't have been. That was really weird, okay? But, okay, it happened one time out of 20 hours, and I kind of just forgot about it and I moved on. But there's other weird shit that happens too. Like, for example, and I'm going to choose my words very carefully here because I'm trying to stay spoiler-free. But in the beginning of the game, you go to a planet, and you might stay on that planet for a while, and then obviously the story is going to take you to another planet. That's what you expect in a sci-fi game, right? Well, you can go back to this planet and continue to do work on this planet to go even further, okay? Well, at one point, I did that. I went back to that planet, and I did, like, just about everything you could do on that planet, or at least when the game gave me a trophy for doing enough on that planet. Wink, nudge. Okay, again, I'm trying to stay very spoiler-free. So then when I go to this other planet, I then progress the story, and I'm doing all this stuff, and then my crew members go, hey, did you hear? The base over at the one planet had the problems fixed with the radiation. We should go back and see what's going on. And I'm like, I fucking did that 2 hours ago. Like, why are you just now having this conversation?
Okay, let me bring this back to Skyrim.
Okay.
I heard they're reforming the Dawn Guard. You know, some sort of vampire hunters or something. My God, you think Arrow to the Knee is fucking annoying? After that fucking DLC update, every fucking guard has to tell me about the fucking Dawn Guard. It's like, yes, I'm fucking aware of this stupid castle that fight, you know, these group of people that fight vampires. It's like, fucking shut up about it.
And Shane was telling me he had a weird issue too. Like, he had something where he went to the planet, the very first planet, and he met two people that are supposed to join your squad, but they hadn't joined yet. But then he went back to the ship, even though the story doesn't give you a reason to go back to the ship. He wanted to go back there because he felt he could progress one of the romance storylines. And those people who had not yet joined his squad, on the ship. So there's like weird shit going on with the flags in the game that should be pretty obvious to anyone that played the game start to finish in some different ways, you know, which is what you do in QA. So, and I'm not blaming BioWare or EA's QA department, because my thought is these issues are probably well aware and documented, but there was a mandate that game had to be out by the end of the financial year. And that was the mistake, because even though it sounds like I'm being very negative on the game, I actually, like, it's pretty fucking amazing. Like, the scope of the game, the scope of all there is to do in the game, and that's even without bringing multiplayer into it, and the vast variety of conversations you can have, and all this stuff that's going on, like, I actually feel like this is a incredibly epic game underneath all that shit that should have been better. Like, underneath all that, it's a pretty amazing game. And so it kind of sucks that they rushed this out, because I think this game could have been a 10 out of 10 if it had come out holiday 2017.
Probably. So they would have had time to iron out the bugs, and it still very well could get better with bug patches and stuff like that.
Yeah, but now who's going to care now? Because
people care when they patched in that new ending.
A game kind of lives and dies by its, you know, release week or what have you, which, you know, for better or for worse. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but, you know, will they slice the price of the game down to $30 and then try to make the money on DLC?
They already cut the price of the game.
Maybe, what?
Yeah, I think they dropped about 24%. I saw an article somewhere that said that.
Wow, that's something else if it's already dropped. I mean, but here's the other unfortunate thing, is that for those of you guys that are rooting for this game to fail, like, eat my entire ass. Like, seriously, like, as a fan of Mass Effect, eat my ass. Because I don't want you guys to fuck this up and rob me of a sequel for Mass Effect Andromeda, because I think back to the original trilogy and Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. And Mass Effect 1 kind of had a lot of issues too. And especially when it came to driving, which this game has those same issues when it comes to driving, right? I feel like Mass Effect Andromeda 2 could be really, really fucking amazing, just like Mass Effect 2 was. And then the third game could be great too. But now I'm worried, because of all of this fuckery that's going on the internet, we're not going to get that. And that would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy if we don't get a Mass Effect Andromeda 2. I hope they do it the right way, and I hope they give it the time it needs to develop, but I'm worried that all of this negativity is going to be a fucking snowball down the mountain, and we're not going to end up seeing a Mass Effect Andromeda 2 because of it. Because people, you know, were swayed by GIFs and 10-second YouTube clips and things.
We'll see how the sales do.
Of what went wrong. And some of that onus is on EA as well. I don't think they should have done the 10-hour preview.
Yeah,
especially if the game was only half done and a lot of these issues are going to come to light.
They need to sell those $30 passes to play, you know, games early.
Yeah.
You know, pay for violating street date.
Okay, so going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster, I think, really feels similarly to how I do, that says, I could go on, but it would sound like I actually hate the game, which weirdly I don't, because there are things that I actually like in it. But damn, what the fuck happened to quality control? And that's exactly where my head's at right here. Tech2030 in chat says, is it the first game in a new trilogy? I would assume that is the plan, but we'll see. Dungeon Buster, with a hopeful comment that may make me feel a little better about things and what's happening on the internet. Dungeon Buster says, Assassin's Creed Unity hasn't stopped that franchise. I hope you're right. I hope you're onto something with that
it's
comment.
It's okay. Mass Effect Andromeda, it was a development variation.
There's other things I could kind of get into in Mass Effect as well, and I feel like I need to address some of these things. Although I'm opening a whole can of worms, but I'm just going to fucking say it. So obviously there's a lot of controversy going on out there because I don't know if you've heard about this, Loki. I know you probably don't follow all this as closely as I do, but you are aware that part of a big draw to Mass Effect games is that the subtitle should just be Mass Effect Andromeda, who do I get to fuck? Like that's what a lot of these games are
about.
That's
what people want to know.
Is, who do you get to fuck?
Is it everybody?
No. Aww. No. And that's part of what's happening here, because as a player who wants to play a gay male shepherd, you have two romance options in the game. I hope that isn't spoilery. I'm sorry if I'm very sorry if this is spoilery.
Gay rider, I guess.
I will not say who they are. Okay. So gay rider has two options on who he can romance. And in one of the romance scenes, it does like a whole little flirtatious thing, and they're kind of like they're kissing and stuff, and then they kind of get into bed and it fades to black. Right? The dot, 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 and you know what happens after that. In one of the, I think there are, somebody may have to correct me on this number, I believe there are at least four heterosexual male love scenes. So females, there are four females you can romance, right? I'm thinking in my mind, there's her, and I think there's one other. So I think there's at least four, I could be wrong, there might be more.
The Crushinator.
So, in one of the scenes that I caught on YouTube of what happens with the male heterosexual rider and one of the females, it's fucking porn. Like, it is, like, her titties are out, his ass is on display, she's sitting up on the counter, he's pounding her. Like, I'm not fucking kidding. Like, that's the softcore porn in the game. Now, look, I understand that anal might make some people uncomfortable. And I'm not saying that that whole thing necessarily needs to be on the same display in all this, but why is it?
You can do it tastefully.
You can do it tastefully, exactly, because that's what they're going to say about this whole male and female writer thing is that, well, it was done tastefully. It's a tasteful Cinemax scene. There's a discrepancy there. There's a discrepancy in how it was done, and there's a discrepancy in how many options you have. Gay men have yet to be able to fuck an alien. I just want to point that out. Straight men, not a problem since the very first game. You could have your way. It's well documented in Mass Effect 1. You can bed an Asari character in that game, and that trend kind of continues on into this game. And there's female on female. There's, and you know, where are my gay women at? Hey, they have plenty of options as well. Gay women have, I think, the same four options. I'm sorry, I did not commit to memory all these different options, but gay women have more options than gay men do. By the way, there's a trophy in the game for romancing three different people throughout the course of the game. Now, think about that for a minute. How many did I just tell you gay rider gets to romance? Two. So you can't earn that trophy if you're gay rider. And well, you know, and of course, here's the witty retort. Here comes the tweet from the egg icon on Twitter. Well, you could still get you're not banned from getting the trophy. All you have to do is sleep with a woman. Right. Because I haven't fucking heard that line over my 38 years of existence. Again, here's
the baby.
Spoon.
It's just for the trophies. Okay. It means nothing, but
Andromeda is about procreation, which is funny because they get into that whole thing. And I actually thought that part was well done because one of the gay characters feels a little bit of guilt about the fact that there's supposed to be procreation going. I actually thought that was well done, but I digress. So anyway, but here's my worry, and I understand there is a trans character in the game that's getting a lot of pushback as well. I am not trans myself, so I feel like I can't really present this in the same way about how this is offensive. But it's essentially, imagine it's this. So I'm gonna walk up to you. Hey Loki, how you doing today?
Hello.
By the way, did you know that I used to be a woman and my name was blank? Like that's kind of how it's done in Mass Effect Andromeda.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I actually was. It was one of these videos that was complaining about the social justice stuff, and I happened to watch it, and they were talking about that this isn't the first game BioWare has done this. Like they said, they did that in Dragon Age Inquisition as well. Like one of the characters you meet, she's just like, "Hi, I'm such and such IP standing up." It's like, where the fuck did that come from? Like just like ridiculous stuff. So. It's something that they've done in previous games, but it's like kind of almost seems like that they're doing it not to be like progressive. It's just like, oh, we're just ticking the box because we want to make sure that this market's being, you know, taken care of.
Funny enough, even though that might not be the best way to come to that conclusion, but I feel like that's kind of it. Like this is where a lot of people who appreciate the diversity or have in the past that BioWare's been trying to go for in some of these games are getting a little annoyed because now it's starting to feel like we're ticking boxes. And again, I'm not trans myself, but so you guys understand if you don't happen to know anybody who's trans, what I'm told is to just come out and blurt what they call your dead name. Essentially, that was the name, before you transitioned, right? That's like something that doesn't fucking happen. Like you don't go up to somebody and just say like, "Hi, did you know my name used to be blank?" Like that's just not the way it works. But you have to wonder. And again, I want to, if we happen to have any trans people out there listening, I would love to hear your perspective on this. If you're okay with the way it was done, or if it pisses you off and why? Because I would like to hear from that perspective. But I'm trying to represent y'all the best I can. But this whole thing is like, did they have to do it that way so that maybe the people who don't know somebody who's trans or who doesn't have that in their life would not be able to get confused? I mean, I don't know. And I'm not saying that's
like, I think
exactly
it should be done.
I'm not
done
saying
realistically
that,
so that, you know,
I'm not saying that's how they should have done it at all. I'm just like. Who thought that was a good idea? Like, that was just a weird way to do it. Or at least get to know that character a little bit first. Make that character, I mean, heaven forbid we go there, make that character a romanceable option. And when you get to know that character more and more, then maybe she unveils a little bit more about her past. Doesn't necessarily blurt out, you know, what her name used to be, but maybe explains a little more about... What? Oh my God! Can you imagine? Can you imagine some of those egg icons on Twitter? What would happen if, like, oh yeah, then the problem is, like, oh hey, I romance this hot female, and you can guess what happened. But that plays into another really bad trope that, you know, I can understand why BioWare would not want to go down that road because, you know, that's a whole slippery slope.
Or here's what you could have
done. The whole gotcha thing
in the first place. Why the fuck did you even have like? Why the fuck did you decide in this game? Yeah, we're going to let you fuck the crew members. Like, why even have that in, like, a sci-fi game? Why are we even bringing sexuality into these games in the first place? Just have it be a game without, like, who cares?
Because in a two-hour movie that's dramatic, sometimes the characters have sex, Loki. Like, it's the same thing in space. Sometimes in a 60-hour-plus epic game about drama, sometimes you get closer to the characters and sometimes you have sex with them. Like, that's what it is.
Just fucking do it the Saints Row 4-way, which is... You can fuck everyone. That's it.
Okay, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. William Murderface says, I know a couple people who are, and I think mentioning trans, and yeah, many don't tend to talk about their dead names. Of course, there are some who just don't give a fuck, but they seem to be a statistical anomalies in that regard. Dungeon Buster, I think, sums it up very well here. This is nice. The writing could have opened up more opportunities to learn more about that specific character instead of just putting out a verbal billboard. And Alex P. Carson, answering your question, Loki, says, sex. Just because. Sex. sex sells.
I get it, but if they're not going to do it smart, then what's the point? You know, don't implement a feature you can't implement correctly.
So, all right. So anyway, so I had to mention some of those issues, and
And yes, I didn't like Saints Row 4, not because you could romance everybody, because I get the parody of that, but because it's not fucking Saints Row, it's just ridiculous bullshit, game.
Speaking of parody games, you posted that trailer on Twitter this week for that Goat Simulator game, the Goat Simulator in Space or whatever. That looked fucking hilarious. Like, it was hitting on everything that Mass Effect is known for, including the romance scenes, and I was like, well, brava, Goat Simulator developers, brava on you. I'm excited to play that at some point.
I think it came out this week, actually.
Oh, did it come out this week?
The DLC, yeah.
I'm gonna have to check that out. This is the one other thing I want to say with all this social justice stuff and all the, you know, the trans representation and the gay male representation and so forth, is there's a lot of this negativity that BioWare is getting in the reception because they should have done better rather than just tick a box. My concern is, are they going to then not do this in the future? Because they're going to say, like, well, if we put a trans character or we put a gay character or we put a XYZ character in the game, we're just going to get all this hate mail, so next time we're not going to bother.
Try harder then, instead of just giving up because you failed the first time. You got to fail fast. You got to just... You try something, you take your feedback, you make it better. Not just, oh, people didn't like it. Well, too fucking bad. You know what? You try harder next time.
I am fucking proud of you, Loki. Give me a high five. That was, guys, that was Loki that just gave that statement. You know, for every person that comes to me and says, when is Loki going to shut the fuck up about Nintendo?
Never.
I'm going to play that back, because you're okay, Loki. At the end of the day, you're okay.
But the thing that frustrates me the most about some people is just like willing to give up so easily. It's just, why don't you just take the feedback from it and learn from it? There's always going to be people, you can't appease everyone, but do it in a way that makes sense instead of just, hi, my name is, you know, so and so. Did you know I used to have a penis? I mean, like, that's stupid. You know, just have them, nobody does that, or at least. Very few people probably do that, but I just think there's easier ways to just develop it more naturally. Better writing. Get better writers.
So, and here's the thing. I mean, as much as, how long has the show been on now? Half an hour. We've been talking about Mass Effect for half an hour.
It's like Jamie's here.
And it's, well, to be fair, I'm as bad as she is. And for the most part, we've been shitting on a lot of elements of Mass Effect, but I want to stress, there's a lot of good in Mass Effect. There's a lot of good. But it's extraordinarily frustrating to see these things that flopped that could have been fixed if the game had just gone through another few months of quality check.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what, like, even some of these things we're talking about with the representation of the different minorities. Like, maybe if the game had had a longer QA period, they could have brought in some more gay men, some more trans individuals, some more, you know, to play the game and give this feedback that now they're getting on Twitter. So
I would be surprised if they don't have that feedback already. I mean, because, come on, I mean, they've been doing this for how many games now?
Yeah.
Like, so that should be there. And I mean, I think EA is a pretty progressive company. They have staffers.
They are. You know, to be fair, I know EA's gotten a lot of shit over the years, but EA was there at the very first GamerX. EA is in the Pride parades. EA's trying to do the right thing, you know? So I can't believe I'm going to say it, but just go back to what Loki said a little bit ago. Take the feedback and do better. There it is. William Murderface in chat says, isn't it the case that we often criticize that which we want to see succeed most, not because we hate it, but because we want it to do well? So this is not surprising, which, by the way, since I mentioned it as kind of a joke a minute ago, but it's so the case. Again, listen to this, Loki. Isn't it the case that we often criticize that which we want to see succeed most? Nintendo.
Yes. We criticize Nintendo because we know that they're capable of better. And that's the frustration. It's like, dude, you used to be fucking phenomenal. Their games were fucking phenomenal. And it's like now they're just setting the bar so low for themselves. It's just like, come on, you guys. I know you can do better. You got an A on the last report. Why are you getting C's now? I mean, that's kind of...
Spoken like a true father.
That's the thing. It's like, my kids do this all the time, and that's, you know, comes with the frustration of quitting, because it's like, oh, I don't want to do this because it's hard, because I got it wrong, or I know I'm going to get it wrong. Well, you're not trying, and that pisses me off even more than you failing. Well, not that you failing would piss me off, it's just... You know, try, goddammit.
Tiger Claw in chat says, Sky, what do you think of games and comic book movies trying to shoehorn LGBT characters just to appeal, I think it's appeal, not appear, to the demographic?
Yeah, that's quite obvious, actually, well, I think.
Here's the thing. I'll bring up the Power Rangers movie, because that was all in the news, right? The fact, like, OMG, it's the first, like, gay superhero or what have you, right? Like, honestly, it's not a... how do I phrase this? I want to say it's not a huge moment in the movie, although it kind of is during a key moment as to what is bringing these five individuals together and so forth. But what I'm trying to say is that I don't want to say it's a throwaway line, but it's just one of those things that's kind of like quickly like, yeah, that's kind of what's going on. And then it's like we move on in the discussion. And that's kind of, I don't know, in some ways, I kind of... like that as when I tell people that I happen to be gay and I'm married to a man, I kind of like that they can just go, all right, cool. So do you guys have a cat? You know, like that's it, right? Like that's kind of how I prefer the conversations to go, is that it's not a big fucking deal. Like if people have questions, I'm happy to answer as long as it comes from a place of education, but you know,
right.
Like, don't ask the question like, Well, who's on top in that relationship? That's not your fucking business.
It should be like that. It's just like if you saw an interracial couple, oh, your wife's black? I mean, like, so how's that work? I mean, like, no one does that anymore because it's such a normal thing.
Well,
and that's...
Well,
okay. Sadly, most people don't... Thank you. When I say everyone, I mean every sane person. So most people don't say that. It's like it's not even a thing that you think about. And I think we're almost... We'll be there soon, you know, where it's just like, oh, you guys are married. Cool. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's how it should be. It shouldn't even be a thing.
Yeah, I know.
Stop trying to fantasize about people naked. I mean...
I'm going to... Next time somebody... Not that anybody's dumb enough to actually ask me who's on top in that relationship. I'm going to...
Wouldn't you like to know?
Stop trying to picture me naked. Do you want to just see me naked? Like, is that what we're getting at here? But okay, so back to the whole Power Ranger thing, right? So actually, the way they did it in the movie was fine. It's the whole fucking internet fuckfest that's going on like the whole like, oh my god, it's a lesbian Power Ranger. This whole big thing. So this stuff that's going on, the fact that it's like a adult rated movie in Russia and all this stuff is going on. That's just kind of like, that's the part where I'm going like, fucking calm down. It's 2017. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the representation. I think it's fucking fantastic that this ranger can say, yeah, I'm having girlfriend problems. And the other rangers are like, okay, cool. And like moving on. Like and so that way, if there is a little girl out there who has some, well, you know, I need to choose my words carefully here because nobody under a certain age should probably be having romantic feelings of any kind. But, you know, a teenage, when I say little, I mean like a teenage girl who's the age in the movie is having these conflicting feelings. Being able to see some of that representation like, oh, fuck, there's like somebody like me out there, right? And this is a battle that continues on for racial minorities too. And that whole thing, like, you know, why did we have this whole thing with the Oscars a couple years ago where it was the Oscars so white and all this stuff? Because, you know, I think a lot of black individuals like to see themselves in movies. And there was a lot of great talent and great movies that were going extremely like unrecognized and so forth. Obviously a lot changed for the better this year, but we're not there yet, but things are going in the right direction where now we are acknowledging and hopefully at the end of the day, opening up more roles for people that are not just like white men, you know, that's what it is. Anyway, I don't want to get too preachy on the show, but that's, you know how it goes. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw in chat says, Sky, you heard the internet is going ape shit over Wonder Woman's armpit. What the fuck? No. What? Does she not shave it or something? Is that a thing?
Who gives a shit? Who's actually freeze-framing that shit to check?
If she grew up in the fucking jungle, I would think that she probably doesn't shave her armpit, and that's probably historically accurate, which who I can't believe I'm saying about a comic book movie.
Who cares?
But, I mean, yeah, who cares? Somebody's got too much time on their hands. You know why? You know why somebody noticed it? Because it took them out of the sexualization of Wonder Woman for a minute. Like, I can't fap to her now. She doesn't buy these products to conform to some sort of standard that magazines has put out there. I can't fap to her anymore. That's why somebody noticed it.
Once again, people just giving up before they actually try.
Oh, is it? Oh, Brad's telling me it's the other way around. It's because she does shave.
Oh my God, no one is fucking happy about anything.
Happy. Nobody's happy
Who
with anything.
Who cares?
Again, stop staring at her armpits.
It's okay, because she has a massive bush under her fucking costume. So it's just, it's even now, okay? God, people are so complaining. I swear, people just want to fucking complain about anything on the internet, because they'll get fucking attention for it. Just like everything. I broke Rob.
I think we need to move on.
All right, let's do that.
Wait, we need to talk about other games we've been playing this week besides just Mass Effect in a segment called How Was Your Game? Loki, how was your gaming week?
So this week I actually played... Well, I was going to play more Zelda, but, you know, honestly, haven't felt compelled to do it. That weapon, you know, the weapon damage system thing is really bothering me, so I haven't gotten around to it. Instead, I played more Skyrim, so I made it through... Which storylines now? So I went through the rest of the actual Civil War storyline, so that's all done. I think I did... I can't remember if I had finished the whole actual like Dragonborn, not the DLC Dragonborn storyline, but the actual Alduin storyline in the game. So I did that. I started doing the Bard stuff now, which is completely boring, but I'm gonna get through that pretty quick. And then it's gonna be on to Dawnguard, because I figure if I complete the Dawnguard DLC, then they can stop fucking telling me about stupid Dawnguard. And that's really my only motivation to finish that DLC. So I finished it before when I had mods on there, but now that I'm playing a whole new save, I gotta do it again. But my God, it's seriously irritating. So then the other thing I've been doing, like, because I was unaware that they have this going on, this whole water festival thing in Pokemon. I just thought, like, this is a weird glitch that there's, like, fish everywhere. And so then finally I read up, oh, it's an event going on. So I thought the game was just broken, which, you know, wouldn't be that far off. So I've been playing quite a bit to get... you know, as many new Pokemon as I can, because, you know, I don't normally go near water. I'm not going to San Francisco or anything, so a lot of these are brand new for my stuff. And it's a good way to kill time when I have to sit at a birthday party, for example, like I did today. And then what else did I play? I played briefly, because I installed it for my son, Super Mario Run on Android. So I put it on his tablet for him. And the only thing that really pisses me off about Super Mario Run is the forced tutorial that they have in the beginning. Because all I wanted to do was, like, quickly install it on there and just pay for it so that the app is unlocked and then go. And let my son just play the game. But no, I had to do... And they just showed me every fucking element from the stupid game. It took for goddamn ever just to finish the thing. And it plays okay. I just don't... It's not a game I'm interested in. He really loves it. He's been playing it, like, all the last 2 days, so... you know, he got that going for him. Plus, it's easy enough for him to be able to play. You know, he's just like, oh, I really like the fact that I can play this, you know, because he can put the easy mode on if he dies or something like that. And he's almost finished all the levels. So it's, you know, props to them for that. I think it's worth, you know, the money for his entertainment. It's not something I would buy for myself, but kids like it. I guess that's kind of the demographic. So, so yeah. And then that's what I played. And then, that's really it, yeah. I bought a 3D printer.
That's right. I know you were going to get that. You actually bought it, huh?
Yeah, I decided to do it.
That's awesome. So what are you going to print? A gun?
If I want to, but no, I'm not going to print a gun. No, I actually, there's a lot of projects like that I want to make stuff that you know, requires like 3D printing or something of the sort. And so I thought it'd be just, you know, kind of fun to be able to get one of those. So I got a TiVo tarantula, which is like a Prusa i3 Chinese knockoff thing. So it's not perfect when I get it, so I have to do a lot of fixes and mods to it, which will be fun because I get to learn the process, and there's a lot of troubleshooting with those, which is not exactly ideal for some people, but I like the challenge of it, so I'm very curious to see how that's going to go. So yeah, I ordered it. They haven't shipped it yet because they drop ship, and so they'll probably ship it sometime either next week, so hopefully I should have it probably a couple weeks, so be able to try it.
Ragenator in chat with the question, what's the TTP on that 3D printer, Loki OLR? And if you're new to OLR, TTP is timed penis, which is whenever game makers give you something where you can create, i.e. Little Big Planet, i.e. Super Mario Maker, whatever. How long until somebody does a penis? It's usually a matter
of seconds. I'm sure someone's already 3D printed a penis. If whether I'm going to 3D print a penis, probably not, because prints take like several hours. That's a lot of dedication and like money. I mean, I don't see the need to print a 3D penis for anything. So
you can't think of a practical use around the house.
I probably will not print a 3D penis on there. But never say never. So you know.
All right. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, print OLR bobbleheads. There you go. I'll give you something a little. You've got other there's something up your sleeve you're going to want to print. You bought it for something.
I just bought it because I wanted to buy some. I don't know. It's either that or upgrade my computer. And upgrading my computer was more expensive. So
wow,
I decided just to do this because it was only actually out the door. I think it was only like $265. So
bad.
No, not bad at all. And plus, it's a kit. I get to build it. It's even better.
Fun. Awesome. Let's see, my gaming week. So obviously I've been playing a crap ton of Mass Effect Andromeda. That's really been the game that's dominating my week, which again, despite everything we talked about in the beginning of the game, I really think there is like, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like, there's this fantastic like core game that's amazing and there's all these worlds to see. And then it's like, it's wrapped in tinfoil. Like I don't know how else to describe it. I do think there's more good than bad in Andromeda, but unfortunately these bad things need to be talked about because I really do think when people kind of go back at the end of the year and we're talking about the game of the year, which will undoubtedly be Zelda. Unless there's some big holiday surprises at the end
Red
of the year.
Red Dead Redemption 2. That's probably 2018.
Well, I really don't see how Zelda Breath of the Wild isn't like game of the year at this point. And why it's Zelda and not Mass Effect Andromeda.
I just need to give it more time. Same with like Final Fantasy 15, man. All these games that are in my backlog now that like I was really looking forward to those, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like when they came out, you know. It's
yeah,
I don't know.
But you know, I think we're going to look back and say, God, they really should have delayed Mass Effect Andromeda, and it probably could have been Game of the Year if it came out during the holiday. But, you know, EA wants to make, you know, be in the black for their financial year, so they didn't want to delay it again. But we'll see if that costs them. Anyway, so I did play other games. I played, of course, I always play Final Fantasy 14. That's always kind of, even if I'm like binging on Mass Effect, like there just comes a point where I'm like, okay, I can't play any more Mass Effect tonight. I'm going to just do something else. Because, you know, I just need to take my mind off Mass Effect for a little bit and do something else. So I'll play a little bit of Final Fantasy 14. Or there's been a couple other games as well. I didn't talk about this last week, so I need to bring it up now. But Loki, an old favorite of yours and mine, came out on the PlayStation 4 a week ago. Clicker Heroes on the PlayStation 4, believe it or not. Which,
yes, I've purposely avoided that.
Look, and if you don't
know, like button press heroes now?
Yeah, it's basically button press heroes. It's square heroes, because you get square over and over as the click. It's the same game. There's not a lot to say about it. It's one of those colossal fucking time wasters. It's a calculator game, right? Just like cookie clickers. 1 + 1 = (). So you just watch the number grow. That's what these games end up being. Like that Nonstop Night we were playing on the phone for a little bit that Brad from Pog Culture got us into. All those games are calculator games. And so is Clicker Heroes. Except it's on the PlayStation 4. And do you know how that fucking game sucked me in? Come on, one more time, Rob Roberts. Come on. I know. You played way too much of me on the PC. But come on, Rob. One more time. You know what got me in? Trophies. They fucking put trophies in it in a free-to-play game. And so, of course, I was like, well, I mean, I can get that bronze trophy really easy. Ascend one time? That doesn't take that long to do.
So is it all the trophies that they had like in the game before, like, but now with actual trophies?
No, because there was a ton of trophies in the game before, like the little mini achievements and stuff. Those are all still there, mm-hmm. but you only actually get trophies for like maybe 10 different things, and there's no platinum. So I think you could probably knock a few of them out in an hour, but then if you want to get the rest, you're going to have to invest some serious stuff. Like, one of them is like, get to zone 3600, which I think is a gold, but still, I mean, it's going to take a long time to get to zone 3600.
Yeah.
So, you know. But it's a cute little time waster, again, in between sessions of other games. The one thing I'm going to complain about that game is that it doesn't work in sleep mode. If you put it in sleep mode and then you'll wake up your PlayStation 4 later, you don't get any coins from when it was sleeping. You have to close the game.
Oh, yeah.
That needs to be fixed. And that's the one complaint I have about it.
I understand why they don't do that, because stuff's not supposed to persist. It's basically like a save state, so you're freezing everything. So I understand that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why it's happening, but it's stupid. They need to figure out how to fix that. Like, save the game right before it sleeps and then reload it, or do something. I don't know. But anyway.
I'm just too... the problem with those games is that I'm too compelled to cheat.
Yeah.
And I will find a way to cheat. But that means modding a controller to like put a timing switch in there.
Get one of those little woodpecker
auto
things.
Auto fire triggers or something. You know, I will find a way to cheat in that game, and then it'll be just like, okay, this is stupid. Yeah.
All right. So there's Clicker Heroes, and then on the Switch this week, I checked out Splatoon 2 during the test fire, which over this weekend, I think it's done now. I think, or the last one might be at 8 o'clock tonight. No, I think it actually wrapped up this morning. I don't think there are any more play periods, but there were 6 play periods. I checked out 2 of them, and I played a little bit of Splatoon 2, and there really wasn't a lot to it because you couldn't customize the characters. You could pick 1 of 4 weapons. You couldn't play with friends. You couldn't really control anything. But again, it was a free test fire. They really just wanted to test the server capabilities. And for the most part, for me anyway, it ran fine. Like, from the internet does it work perspective, it was great.
I hope no one bought the system for that beta.
I doubt it, but it's a nice little, like, well, if you bought the system now and you don't own Zelda, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know what else you would have right now.
Speaking of which, before the movie, they had like a big old thing about the Switch. What did they show off?
Really?
1-2 Switch. That is literally the stupidest thing to show.
That's what they're trying to get the casuals with, is those games. So,
but what happened with getting the casuals with The Legend of Zelda when the first Nintendo came out? Fuck that. Just play like The Legend of Zelda. It's not casual. It's a fucking great game.
So anyway, I enjoyed Splatoon enough. I mean, it was pretty much the same as the first game, because you can't really peel back all the new layers because this is just one particular element of the game. So again, I can't review Splatoon 2 based off an extremely limited demo of the game, but I mean, it was that same game that I got into during Splatoon 1, and I'm really excited to be able to play this with friends. Like, again, the convention thing is going to be off the hook. Like, I can't wait for that. I did okay, and somebody will correct me if I don't say there is a new weapon and some of the new abilities are different and there are, you know, things like that, but I mean, come on, those are incremental upgrades you'd kind of expect with a new Splatoon game. So there's not a lot I can really say about it besides that, but I had fun that I played, even though I think I only won like one match out of all the ones I played.
I think,
but
that
a lot
need...
of them, we ended up 4 versus 3 in a lot of them. I don't know if there were people having connection problems or just that many people were quitting, but like, I don't think I was losing because we were necessarily bad. We were losing because we kept fucking being underrepresented. We only had 3 people to their 4, and of course you're going to lose. So Nintendo does, I think, maybe need to figure out, can they mitigate that problem somehow? Can they have a robot that comes in and plays while it tries to fill the space? Like, I don't know. Anyway.
I was going to say, Bobby insists that there were no casual gamers when the original Zelda came out. Well, that's not true. There were casual arcade game players. So I would say that there were casual game players, but
not the same way we think about it today.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's stupid to even say someone's a casual game player. It's just like, can you have a casual movie watcher? I mean, I'm sorry, you're not, you know, skilled enough to watch this movie, but watch this other movie. It's, I don't know. It seems like a silly argument.
So I did try to do some of the other weapons besides just the roller, because I like to play roller in Splatoon, and I can't stand playing Splatoon with motion controls, so thank God I was able to turn those off. But that turned into a whole debate on Twitter. I think it's because I play the roller, I don't enjoy motion controls. If I played something that needed more aim, because I did try to play that new dual weapon thing, and like I was really horrible at aiming with it, and I was like, you know what, maybe this is why you need motion controls, because you can aim so much better with it. But like, when I play with motion controls, I'm having to hit that reset. The Y button will like reorient the camera. I'm hitting that like repeatedly. But again, with a roller, you don't really have to aim the same way. I mean, you do for some things, but for the most part, you don't. So I don't know. I can get away with having motion controls off. But yeah,
they're still trying to shove it down your throat with the stupid motion controls. It's like
I don't know if they're necessarily shoving it down your throat than the fact that it does give you like It's almost like it's a trackball. Like, imagine the motion controls and using the tilt controls is more like using a trackball. And, I mean, you can turn it off if you don't like it, Loki. So I don't think they're necessarily shoving it down your throat. But it's, like, a way to have something more. Because, you know, like a mouse, it's the whole keyboard and mouse versus a right analog stick, which I'm really noticing playing Mass Effect multiplayer. Like, I played a lot of Mass Effect multiplayer with 3 on the PC. And now it's, like, I have the hardest time aiming on the two analog nubs on PlayStation. Like, I kind of need a mouse. And so I think the motion controls is to substitute for the mouse a little bit. Even though, yes, it's very, very different. It's not, I don't think it's what you think it is, Loki, when you say the forced motion control thing. Because it's just another way to be able to aim, basically.
No, I understand. It's like Zelda.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. So that's it. I played a little Splatoon 2. I'm going to check out the game when it comes out. I'll get the retail version. Just to be able to play with friends, because I hope, I mean, if it comes out that the matchmaking sucks, then I might reconsider that. But, you know, I guess that's kind of an unknown element right now, because I would have expected we would have had a hint as to what to expect with a Nintendo app and all this stuff for the test fire this weekend, but none of that was there. It was just you got thrown in a match with random other people, and that was that. So I want to hear a little bit more about how that's all going to work. I mean, I would imagine now that that's going to have to be in place for Mario Kart 8, right? Mario Kart 8's going to need that. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Alex P. Carson in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, we're not going to get into the mouse keyboard versus controller thing. It'll never end. Ain't that the truth? All right. We're going to do at least one or two stories here, and then I got to get to Dark Soccer and the Classic Game of the Week, because I said we'd call her at about 7, but oops, we ranted a little too long in the beginning. So we'll get to a couple stories here, but I do want to do a quick housekeeping. Next week on the show, you don't even know this, Loki, surprise, Gabe's going to be back next week.
Yay.
To talk about SAC IGDA and the SAC Indie Arcade. I'm hoping Bree's going to come too. I don't know if they're both coming or just him, but obviously they're both welcome, and who knows, maybe they'll bring another friend that's involved. But we're going to talk about the SAC IGDA, SAC Indie Arcade, which is going to happen April 8th. So it's coming up. It's less than 2 weeks away.
I know. I've been looking forward to it.
So that's coming up, and VOG will be broadcasting all day that Saturday. I'll let you know the times next week, because I'm not sure exactly when we'll start and when we'll end. But it's at the same venue we did last time, mm-hmm. And so we were able to broadcast A-OK, because they got us a wired. I remember we had to like run a wire like over out a window and down, like, but we got a wired connection there, so we were able to. We were able to do the streaming okay, so I think we're in the exact same place we were last year. So if you are local in the Sacramento area, check it out. It's going to be at the West Sacramento Convention Center on April 8th, so definitely come out and check that out. That's going to be a very busy day for me, because I'm hosting Rocky Horror that night. And you know what's funny? The after party to the whole thing is at Cafe Colonial, the venue where the thing was at the first year, right? Now it's the after party is there. Well, that's right next door to where we're doing Rocky Horror. So the producer already knows I'm going to come on stage, tell my jokes, get things started, and then I'm going next door to hang out while the movie's going. Because I've seen the movie a million times. So anyway, that'll be a fun day, April 8th. Okay, let's do some news. Loki, at least let's get one story here, and then we'll probably get Dark Soccer on the line here.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about the Evil G. So GameStop is anticipating that there's going to be shortage problems this year as well for the Nintendo Switch and even for the PlayStation VR. So they're saying the demand is incredibly strong for this. As soon as we get any in our stores, it's out within hours. We anticipate we're going to be chasing supply this entire year. Of course, you know, Nintendo has insisted that, no, they've got it, you know, worked out, but I guess we'll have to see. And then, of course, you know, PlayStation VR. The PS4 levels, or they're expecting that for the Scorpio launch, that it's going to be anticipations higher or equal to the PlayStation 4 levels. So that's going to be a problem, too, once that comes out. The other thing, which is kind of interesting, I guess GameStop's not doing all that well, or at least as well as they had hoped. They had a weaker holiday sales, so they're anticipating with that they're going to be closing 150 stores across the U.S. So, yeah, they dropped the hardware sales dropped to about 29% and software down 19% as well. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with people buying digitally also. That probably has got to at least account for some of it.
Well, it might also be some of the same retail stuff that's, you know, what's interesting. I think on the show last week, I said something about how Sears and Kmart was going to be the next thing to go away. And then did you know, like during last week, they actually, there was actually a story that came out that was like Sears doesn't know if it, like it actually came out that Sears said, we don't know if we're still going to be here in a few years. They said something along those lines that made the investors freak out. So it was just kind of interesting that like, wow, I need to like keep my mouth shut on OLR sometimes. But anyway, I wonder if some of that isn't coming into play too. That like just more people are turning to online. Yeah. Some of it digital, some of it
Amazon.
Some of it
like Amazon, exactly. Especially when you get this bullshit where you know you pre-order something and you want it and you can't get it from them because they're out of it. You know, and especially now Amazon's doing a lot of that Amazon Now, the Prime Now stuff where like if I wanted a Switch and they happen to have it, I could order it and it'd be within, you know, to my house in a couple hours versus, you know, having to order it on, you know, through GameStop or pre-order, whatever the case may be. And also, I think, too, you know, like some of that is probably even hardware sales, too. Like with the PlayStation Pro, you know, PlayStation 4 Pro coming out, people anticipating the Switch coming out, the PlayStation VR coming out. A lot of people probably weren't picking up as many games because they just dropped $400 on a new system. So that probably plays into it somewhat as well.
Do you think that GameStop's days are limited? Because I feel like we've sort of seen this coming for a while now.
No, because you've got to have a channel for someone to sell hardware and all the other stuff that, you know, digitally it's just not going to work out. And also, sometimes you can get better deals there, especially with, you know, Nintendo, for example, not dropping the price of their games. You may end up finding, you know, stuff. They do have their place, and they've also started to kind of see the writing on the wall a little bit, and they're diversifying a lot more. So you're seeing them get into more of like the toys and like
I have noticed
hobby stuff.
Yeah, toys and apparel.
Yeah, apparel stuff. So they are aware that they need to have more higher margin. That's the whole reason they're getting in higher margin items that are going to offset the drop in sales a little bit. But they're always going to have, for one, they're still the biggest, you know, player in this, and they're of course going to make sure that they're going to stay the biggest player by, you know, they have, you know, good control over these publishers. They fucking listen to when GameStop wants them to do something. So until we get to that point where the publisher's like, well, we don't need you anymore, but they do, so that's not going to ever happen.
Plus, I imagine the used thing still does very well for GameStop because nobody else really gets into that the same way, right?
I mean,
I know others have tried. I know Best Buy's tried. Amazon has a thing. But, you know, when you think of buying used games, you don't really think of Amazon, to be honest. Like, can you even get used games? I know you can trade them in, but what happens to them?
You can buy used games from Amazon.
Do they? See, I think people think more about GameStop. I think GameStop still's done well in controlling that conversation, for better or for worse.
The GameStop's credit, you with used games, you kind of know what you're getting from when you go there. Like, you, when you're buying something on eBay or Amazon or something like that, you're not entirely sure what the quality is going to be. I mean, they may have pictures and stuff, but at least with like GameStop, you see the disc right in front of you. You can tell, okay, this looks like shit, or, you know, this is in bad condition. And you kind of have that. Plus, they have the quick, you know, 7-day warranty thing on it. So, like, if it does end up not working, I've had that happen, you just take it right back and exchange it out without the hassle. So I think it's a little bit more convenient in that sense. But yeah, I mean, there's other places you're going to be able to find deals all over the place.
Now, Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out in her chat room over at live.vognetwork.com that Walmart is the biggest player and the Evil G doesn't come close when it comes to, you know, who's selling the games. I could definitely see that, you know, depends on your part of the country. See, living here in California, we probably don't think of that as much. Even though Walmart's, a big player here, it's probably something that's much more apparent in other parts
of the
country.
They're a big retail player, but I think game-wise, I think that they're doing more business through GameStop.
Really?
At least it was when I was working in the distribution business.
I was like, you got any receipts to back that up? Because that's I'm having a hard time. I can only go by what
the reps said at the time. So, but then again, that was 3 years ago. So who knows?
Well, I will say this, it is interesting. I would also believe that Walmart is probably a bigger player than GameStop at the end of the day, for what it's worth. But it is interesting to me that most of the GameStops around here, if they're not in the mall, are in a Walmart parking lot. Well, isn't that weird?
It is weird, yeah. But and the other thing, too, let me look at, like, if you want to talk about who's the big players, I mean, look at, you know, who's getting exclusive DLC. Was Walmart getting exclusive DLC, or is GameStop getting exclusive DLC? I mean, so that...
Walmart gets a thing here and there, but, okay, GameStop does get more. They get quite a bit more,
yeah. And it's because they do a lot more marketing push for these games as well, and a lot of people... I mean, people will go to Walmart, but they're not going to necessarily... I don't think too many people are pre-ordering physically through Walmart. Some people will. I mean, it usually if
they said that Walmart still does midnight sales and stuff, and does yeah. I mean, so does Target, so does, you know,
it just depends. I think people now are starting to not necessarily rely as heavily on GameStop. They realize that, like, oh, internet, I can shop around now, and it's a lot easier to shop around. And I think that's kind of what's hurting them more.
Well, Walmart certainly killed music stores. And that, I mean, piracy really killed music stores, but Walmart also had a huge hand in that too. So it's interesting that GameStop has persevered where a place like Tower Records or The Warehouse or whatever, you know, music stores you can think of did not. So anyway, I do want to make sure we get to Dark Sakura because she's patiently awaiting our call. So we're going to get her on the line here, and you can give us a call a little later in the show. But we're going to give Dark Sakura's telephone a ring right now and get her on the show to check in with her, because I know y'all are dying to hear her thoughts on Mass Effect Andromeda, as well as get into the classic game of the week for tonight. And I'm hoping that she's near her phone because I'm about to get her voicemail. Even though I just checked in with her. All right, that is bad because she's not standing by her phone. live radio, what can you do? Loki, you got something short you can help fill time with here?
Yeah, we can talk about the new classic game of the week, Halo.
You bet. That's going to be your ass next week.
So Nintendo, or I should say Reggie, is promising that Nintendo is going to have a big E3 this year. And, of course, his PR spin. E3 is always a big time for Nintendo. We look at each E3 as a unique opportunity to tell our story. We're going to have a big E3 this year. We're showcasing a variety of games. Blah, 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 blah. And some secrets and 3DS. Yeah. This was an interview they had with Fox News.
Are they going to do a press conference thingy again?
Probably. They're not going to be... I don't think they're actually... Well, I mean, they didn't really say they're going to have a press conference, but I think they're probably going to do the directs. So, I don't know. I know E3, or EA's not going to be at E3 again. They're going to be doing their little, like, we're doing E3, but at the same time as E3, but not really at E3.
Oh, is that what they're playing this year?
That's what they're doing. As I alluded to earlier in the show when I made fun of Mass Effect Andromeda... I was saying that this was actually coming from Nintendo. So there's been some issue with Joy-Cons, and they're having some issues not syncing or disconnecting because of some manufacturing variations, as Nintendo puts it. So people have found that when they've come back being fixed from Nintendo, that now they're adding this like piece of conductive foam in there that's supposed to help with the signal or something like that. But yeah, they said there's no issue or no design issue with the Joy-Con controllers, and no widespread proactive repair or replacement effort is underway. A manufacturing variation has resulted in wireless interference with a small number of left Joy-Cons. Moving forward, this will not be an issue as manufacturing variation has been addressed.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase BLACK.
Let me, I hate to do this. There's no other way I can do this live. She's saying it's not ringing for her for some reason. So I'm just making sure that our phone is actually working. So what I'm doing right now is I'm actually calling my own cell phone here live on air. Okay, it's ringing. So I know I can call out. So we're going to try to do this again. That was my cell phone. So let's try this one more time with Dark Sakura. Maybe she was trying to call us as we were calling her. But we're going to see if... It rings. Now it's not even... Okay, there it is. One ringy-dingy. And I think...
Hello.
Hi, Dark Soccer. There you are.
It rang this time.
There you go. Yeah, it's weird. We were having phone problems. But hooray, you're here. How are you? How are you feeling?
I hurt, but I'm okay.
You're hanging in there?
Yeah, I don't recommend to anybody to get kidney stones. Just don't do it.
I'm not sure it's something...
Keep an ultrasound device in your house.
I don't think you really get a choice in the matter, usually.
Well, yeah, that's true. But it's the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Well, feel better. I hope everything passes with minimal pain.
It'll pass.
At the top of the show, okay, so we spent like 45 minutes talking about Mass Effect Andromeda tonight. And by the way, Dark Soccer, I hope you can hear the show at some point. I think you'll be very proud of Loki tonight, some of the things he said. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. But the our listenership is dying to know, what are your thoughts early on with Mass Effect Andromeda?
I'm pretty happy with it, actually. Although the character creation is derp-tastic. And I'm waiting for the modders to step up their game. For the most part, I really enjoyed all the characters. There have just been certain things that I've rolled my eyes at, just, you know, in-game stuff that one would know as a person living in their universe. I'm like, well, this isn't revisionist history. I was kind of thinking of going after the Turian lady, but I don't know. She's a little bit more Bessie, and, you know, I don't want to do, like, a Garrus replacement, so... But she's been cool. She's been, like, her and Drac are my favorite characters so far. So, of course, I like the Turian and the Krogan.
All right. Good, good. What about one thing we spent a lot of time talking about were some of the bugs that are going on with the game. Are you encountering bugs? You mentioned the character creator is kind of derpy, but are you running into bugs that are ruining it for you?
I actually had to adjust my graphic settings a few times. Because it would, like, freeze in certain parts of the dialogue, and then the mouths would keep moving. So I was getting that issue happening. Hmm. And a little bit of jerkiness.
Weird.
But, you know, and there actually were a few, I wouldn't call it a bug, but it's just a weird animation issue. As, like, if you go up to talk to a character and you approach them at just the wrong angle, of course, the camera tries to move over your shoulder. And then you just got the character there continuing whatever animation they were doing beforehand,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever cycle of animation, instead of having them just turn and talk to you. So it's like, I'm talking to you, but I'm also scanning this thing and doing an interpretive dance.
Yeah, so there's...
That's sort of how it came out.
There's some weird things that maybe if they'd waited just a little longer to release the game, they could have worked out. But then we would have had to wait longer to play the game, so I don't know.
I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, all right. That's fair. I think... and a lot of people in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com have been invoking the good old Miyamoto quote in our chat room about how a bad game is bad forever, but a good game, nobody remembers that it gets delayed. Just like Zelda, people... You know, that game was supposed to be out, I think, originally it was like a holiday 2015 game, wasn't it? And then they pushed it back several times, to make it happen. But now, nobody cares, because Zelda's awesome.
Well, we've seen both of the endings for that now.
Yeah? Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, you've got to get all of the memories and a few other things to get, like, the true ending.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that disappointed me about that is that I was kind of under the impression... that after you beat the game, then you've got more game, you know, like post-endgame stuff. And instead, it doesn't quite work out that way, which I would have liked to have, like, the whole post-game rebuilding Hyrule thing, but it's not meant to be.
Maybe that's the DLC. We'll see.
Maybe. See, it was the whole existence of DLC is what made me think that might be it, but oh well.
All right.
C'est la vie.
Well... We're gonna go back to a more classic time when there wasn't any DLC. You know what? The game came out, and it is what it is. Either you like it or you don't. It's the classic game of the week.
And then you had to go stand in line to do a return and then find your receipt.
Dark Soccer's going to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be playing this game this week. If you don't, you are ignorant. And you've picked... This is one of those games this week where I'm like, this is a 10-year-old game? Yes, of course it is. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this qualifies.
This is an 11-year-old game.
Ugh. All right, Dark Soccer, what is the classic, and it is a classic, what is the classic game of the week?
Cooking Mama. I decided to pick Cooking Mama, and part of this I am actually going to say thank you to Game Tim, who I found on YouTube, who does the cooking with Cooking Mama. And we have chatted a little bit back and forth on Twitter, and I would like to welcome him as a listener to the show. So thank you for listening to us. Love to have him on the show. But going back into the game, it is Cooking Mama, which came out in Japan on March 23rd, 2006, and in North America, September 12th, 2006. Sorry, my voice is still a little icky today. It was published by Taito in Japan. In the U.S., it was by Majesco and PAL Region's 505 Games. It was awarded IGN's Best of E3 Award for 2006. You want to know what's funny? We were at 2006 E3.
We were. That was the Paris Hilton year.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that.
And we call it that because we had to walk a completely different direction because Paris Hilton was at the booth, and heaven forbid we get too close to a celebrity we don't give a fuck about. And it was like,
hey, I did meet John Cena, and that was cool.
We were walking like behind, and it wasn't like, it was like we were walking behind a wall where she might have been on the other side. It was so frustrating. But it was also, more people remember it as the year the Wii was unveiled, the last big year before the airport years. But anyway, yes.
Well, anyway, in Cooking Mama, as one might guess, it has to do with cooking. Basically, follow the instructions that Mama gives you. You use your stylus on the 3DS to do different tasks, like you could chop vegetables and slice meat or flip food or even down to your plating of your food. So I thought that's a neat touch as well, but you also have kind of mundane tasks like pouring the water and things like that, and it's got different recipes that you can make as well. In fact, some of the mechanics in the little mini games kind of make me think of how music games go, like where they have you do things a certain way or cut across a certain way, kind of like Osetekai Oendan, you know, where it moves across the screen a certain way. So it's got kind of that in there too. But now you can, with the 3DS, you actually have to use the first part of the screen to show you your instructions for doing what you have to do on the bottom screen. So if you screw up, or if the time expires without making enough progress, then it's considered a failure. And then you get Mama pissed off with the caption that says, "Don't worry, Mama will fix it." And basically, as you perform each of the tasks in the mini games, your performance is rated by the time you get to the end of that level. And you can make all kinds of interesting dishes in the game. Now, the let's cook part, honestly, I think I like the food prep part better than the let's cook part, just because the cooking part it seems a little subjective, and it doesn't always make sense to me. Like, turn it down, turn it up, turn it down, turn it, like, make up your mind. You're supposed to do it at certain times anyway. And, like, some of the ingredients are kind of bizarre to me, but hey, it is what it is. Like, I don't put cucumbers on a sandwich. And then you can, basically, it's just all these different modes, and you combine things, you cook things, you chop things, like bring skills like peeling and stewing and all of that. And some of the dishes in the game, honestly enough, are really pretty good. I may or may not have used a couple of inspirations in the past, although I'll be honest, I've gone back and looked up other recipes myself. So, Cooking Mama was actually considered kind of average when it released. Famitsu gave it a 28 out of 40. It was, though, considered to be a great title for being a budget title. It was $20 at release. It was pretty inexpensive and a very solid and replayable game. And it really is something that you can sit down and play casually. Like, you can do a few recipes here and then save it, and do a few recipes other and save it. So the first game, Cooking Mama, made it actually sold over 500,000 copies in the U.S., and that's as of August 15, 2007, and over a million in the PAL region. So, and believe it or not, Miley Cyrus is a big fan of the series. She came in like a Cooking Mama.
That's so random.
Now, here's the fun thing. You remember, because we even made fun of this on the show, when PETA had their panties in a bunch over it.
Yes, I do remember that.
With Cooking Mama, Mama Kills Animals. And so the press release response was hilarious. It's Mama saying, "I would never put rat in my ratatouille," and pointed out the vegetarian recipes. And then PETA kind of got their panties untwisted when Gardening Mama came out. So, I know, right?
It's funny.
So there were sequels. One of them was Cooking Mama Cook Off. That came out for the Wii, and it used the Wiimote for the cooking, kind of like how the surgery game, by the way, sucked using the Wiimote. I'm just saying. And then we got another DS game, which is Cooking Mama 2 Dinner with Friends. And it has, like, different mini-games and other modes. On top of that, it has Mama speaking with a very, very thick accent. So, there's also Cooking Mama World Kitchen for Wii. And then there is another DS sequel, Cooking Mama 3 Stop and Chop, that came out in October 2009. Mama has been in other games, too, like Babysitting Mama. Did you see that baby thing that comes with it? It's creepy.
Yeah, it's super creepy.
And then Crafting Mama, Gardening Mama,
where
Camping
she teaches
Mama,
you,
outdoor
she adventure. Teaches you how to cook crack.
And then Gardening Mama 2, Forest Friends. There was also Cooking Mama 4, Kitchen Magic for the 3DS, and Cooking Mama 5, Bon Appetit. And there's also kind of a pseudo sequel called Cooking Mama Sweet Shop that was on the 3DS as well. Now, what I would like to stop and reference for a moment is that, it, believe it or not, it kind of has gameplay items in common with a Super Nintendo era game. And that game was called Multiple Chan No Wonder Kitchen. And I had to bring this up because I actually have played a little bit of this game. I had it on an emulator way back in the day, and I was like, eh, it's cute. Basically, Multiple Chan No Wonder Kitchen was one of those advertising games, you know, like how Doki Doki Panic was and all that. It was sponsored by Ajinomoto, the company that does, like, they sell, like, MSG additive and like, some brands of dashi. They're basically kitchen condiments. And this game came out in 1993 for the Super Famicom. It was cut and point and click, and you even got, like, seals for their brand of mayonnaise or something to get the game. But the cooking aspect of the game, the meal preparation, is more than a little bit similar to Cooking Mama, and it makes me think that that was where the idea for Cooking Mama came from, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to find some of the Cooking Mama recipes so I can give an idea of what's in there, because it actually is fairly international. I will say, from all of the watching Cooking with Dogs and just my own hunt down of recipes and what I know about Japanese cooking, is that it really is very still, I'd say, Japanese-oriented for the style of cooking and ingredients. But I was trying to find some of the recipes in it. Like, I know that you can do Salisbury steak or potato salad or pizza. And then, of course, there's okonomiyaki, I think, was one. You can do instant ramen.
But the best part, Dark Soccer, is when you fuck up the food, what happens? Mama has to fix it.
Don't worry, Mama will fix it.
Exactly right.
Okay, so here's some of the other episodes in here. So you can do oyakodon in there, which is like one of my favorite ever Japanese dishes. Although it calls it chicken and egg rice bowl. You have chicken and tomato sauce. You have wontons. You have soba. Agedashi tofu is in it, even in the U.S. one. So there's all kinds of stuff. It's really great. And
yeah, but can mama fix my life? Because it's pretty broken.
I don't think your life is broken.
I need mom.
You did even better than mama.
That's very sweet of you to say.
She says in the second one.
All right.
You need mama to fix America.
Anything else to say about Cooking Mama, the game of the week?
I am super hungry, and I'm actually going to be making something tonight in my kitchen.
There. Oh, well, and if you fuck it up, don't worry. Dan will have to clean it up.
Dan will fix it. No, I'm a good cook. I'm making nut bread.
Mmm, yummy. We'll save some for next yummy. Week. We have guests here in studio next week, so save some.
We'll see about that.
All right. All right, well, Dark Soccer's joining us, and that was the classic game of the week. Cooking Mama. Available on the 3DS, which I'm sure a lot of you guys have played. If you haven't, you should go check it out. And don't worry, if you fuck it up, Mama will fix it.
One last little thing that I think is worth mentioning. You know that ragtime piano player who sight reads video game music?
Yeah.
There's one of him doing the Cooking Mama theme.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because you can kind of hear that
it's
in the background.
It's really cool.
It's like a ragtime piano theme that plays during the whole game.
Exactly. So his... And then once you start doing improvisation, it's amazing. But I think that's worth a listen as well.
Very cool. All right. Well, Darkstalker, I'm going to let you go so we can get to break. But feel better, okay? And then have fun cooking tonight.
Thank you. Have fun breaking things.
We will. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, though, with more of Orange Lounge Radio, lots more news because we barely scratched the surface on news, right? So we have a lot more news to come up.
Yes.
When we come back to the show. And, of course, your calls as well over at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. And we will get to the mailbag as well. I know we have at least one email we got to get to tonight. There might have been more, too. So we'll get to all that when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. And welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 681 for March 26th of 2017. If you're just joining us over at VOG Network, you missed a fun little spirited discussion about Mass Effect Andromeda at the beginning of the show and talking about some other games from this week, talking a little bit about Nintendo needing to amp up supplies of the Switch and some of the things that GameStop's going through this week. But we've got some more news to come, right, Loki?
Yes, we do. So we can talk a little bit about rumors, because everybody loves rumors.
Yay, rumor has it.
And these are all Activision rumors.
Oh, boy.
So the first one, which actually I believe did get confirmed, was that Destiny 2 is supposed to be out in September.
When we say got confirmed, like Activision said...
I want to say I saw on Twitter there was someone that was in the know. I can't remember who it was, because this was a while ago that I saw this on... someone saw it was a poster that got leaked out there, and then there was someone that did confirm.
Huh.
So that there
way
was
to
be,
ruin E3.
There was going to be an announcement. So, interesting. So, Destiny 2, that'll be something that we can hopefully expect this year. So, in September.
September. Cool.
And this is according to a poster.
And that's the whole... We knew it was coming because they had that whole discussion about that you can't transfer your characters, anything besides like cosmetic stuff.
And we knew it was coming this year because they did announce that it was coming in the fall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense because Destiny 1 came out in September. So, sure.
And but that was, God, almost 3-4 years ago at this point, right? So...
Has it been that long?
It's been a little while. It's been over a year, probably 3 years ago.
The other rumor is another... also promotional piece, and this is promotional poster or something for Call of Duty World War II. So kind of saying that this would take Call of Duty back to its roots, so kind of pulling a fucking, you know, EA and Battlefield 1, you know, now let's take it back because our modern or future warfare shit just ain't flying. Just take it back to Modern Warfare.
Let's just go back to our roots and
just go back to Modern Warfare. Just do a Modern Warfare 4.
Let's just go back and punch some Nazis in the face.
And just do it there. But anyway, no, World War II Call of Duty was still fun, so I'm down to check that out. I do like the Modern Warfare games, though. Kind of got spoiled after I played, the old ones, so we'll see. I'm curious.
Stoppy in chat says, I do miss World War II shooters. So, there you go.
Yeah, and everyone was sick of them for a while. It proves you got to, give it some time, space that shit out. All right. Some other stuff we can talk about. Let's talk about Sony. So there's another rumor coming out that they're prepping yet another revision of the PlayStation 4. So apparently there's going to be an even slimmer model that's going to be coming out. And this is coming from Digitime. It's saying that they're prepping a thinner version of the PlayStation 4. This is not unlike Sony because they did revisions on the PlayStation 2 and 3. A few times. I know the 3 went through at least 2 revisions, and even Microsoft did the same thing with the Xbox 360, so it makes sense.
What I would be curious about would be, would this slimmer version get the Pro specs? Could this be a slim Pro? Or is the PlayStation Pro kind of it's already over? But, okay, now one thing, I know we talked a lot about Mass Effect Andromeda at the beginning of the show, but one thing, I need to mention some positives. Because I talk about the story still really good, the exploration, but one of the other big positives is that it's really gorgeous. A lot of the scenery that you go through and the backgrounds, it's when you're in some of these vaults that you go into, it is fucking gorgeous. I've been playing this on a PlayStation 4 Pro. Granted, I don't have a 4K TV. So, yeah, I don't know why I own a Pro either. I guess I was hoping to get those increased frame rates. But, for what it's worth, in Andromeda, it's been a smooth experience, even though, there's been some of those bugs that we talked about. Everything still renders really smooth and so forth. I'm kind of curious if PlayStation is going to slim things down again, might the Pro specs be a new standard? Especially if this is something that's going to happen towards the end of the year, the price of the technology should have come down, right?
I would hope, yeah. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Blizzard, I should say. It's also sort of Activision.
Sort of. Kind of.
So they got this whole remaster of StarCraft coming out this summer. So I haven't actually heard about this yet, but apparently the remastered version is going to include all the same content from the original game, including the Brood War expansion, and they're going to give it a graphical overhaul with 4K Ultra HD, updated audio, and matchmaking support. And they're saying that they are also doing new illustrations to enhance the storytelling during the campaign missions, and cloud saves, and custom-made maps and keybinds and all that fun stuff.
This was rumored during the last BlizzCon, which was a little bit, it was kind of a lackluster BlizzCon. They didn't really announce a lot of big stuff besides the Overwatch League, which we still don't even know much about, the Diablo Necromancer when everybody wanted an expansion, or Diablo 4. But anyway, so the StarCraft remaster was rumored a few months ago. It's interesting they chose to announce it now. I understand there was an event in Korea that they did this at, right? There's an iHeart StarCraft thing.
And there's another cool thing, too, is with Brood War, they're also patching that. They're doing an update. 1.18 is going to actually add some more bug features, improvements, and even observer mode and the ability to rebind keys. So that's something, even if you own the game, part of the StarCraft anthology or something like that, you can actually download that and be able to update your game as well.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, Blizzard's been patching their games 10 years after the fact. Diablo 2 got a patch a couple of years ago, so it happens. You guys have to remember StarCraft is still huge in many places. And yes, StarCraft 2 is a thing, and yes, there's people that play that instead, but the original StarCraft is still huge. So it's a pretty big deal for Blizzard to come out and say basically that we're not going to touch anything with balance. This is just a cosmetic overhaul, and that's it. Well, I guess there's also some things probably with the matchmaking and the fact that it'll actually be integrated with Battle.net, but the Blizzard Launcher, whatever the hell they're calling it now, Battle.net. They're basically integrating it into the same system that used the Overwatch.
Battle.not.
They Battle.not. Diablo 3 and World of Warcraft and all that uses. So now you should be able to see your friends as they're playing the original StarCraft. It should all be integrated into that. The HD version, anyway. But I don't know if you were going to get into this, so sorry if I'm ruining something, but I believe I heard they're going to give away the original StarCraft as part of this, right? Or just in the coming week or something, you can actually get the old school StarCraft for free. Cool. Not the redo. You'll have to pay for that. I don't know how much they're going to charge for that. But if you've never gotten into StarCraft, you'll be able to get the original and the expansion just for free. They're just going to give it away, even though they've sold it for $20. $20 for a game from 1997 until now. And now they're finally just going to make it free for everybody. So that part's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm fucking terrible at StarCraft, so I don't know if anything's going to make me better. I do own StarCraft 2, but I like all the arcade game things you can do in that. I'm terrible at the game itself. When you watch the people that are good at that game, like, they have all of their keybinds down. They're like building stuff. Like, it's so fast. Like, the way people move in that game, it's just like, I can't operate on that level. I just can't. So, but I think it's cool that they're remastering the game.
Yeah. And,
like, not trying to reinvent the wheel, but like, hey, this game is still popular. Almost, what? God, 20 years. We are here 20 years after the fact. This game is still popular, so we're just going to give it a new coat of paint, and that's it. We're not going to fuck with what makes it still a loved game all these years later. So I want to make sure I throw in a story here as well, because it's something that Jason had brought up in the intro to the show tonight, is that good old Galaxy, or GOG, also got an upgrade this week. GOG is up to version 1.2 of GOG Galaxy, which is their front end. If you haven't used enough GOG, it's kind of like the Steam client, if you will. GOG Galaxy is their front end, which includes the store as well as the games that you bought. Now, obviously, GOG kind of started with a lot of the retro stuff, but now they have a lot of more modern stuff, especially mm-hmm. indie things. In the marketplace as well.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big perks about the new version of GOG Galaxy is that now there are universal cloud saves. Note, it doesn't matter which game you're using. For any game on GOG, they don't have to build an extra support for this. Galaxy 1.2 will let your saves be stored and synced online. So my assumption is it must tell these games that you have another drive on your computer that is actually located in the clouds. I haven't used it yet, but that's my assumption how something like this must work and work in every game, is that it's putting a new cloud drive on your computer where all this stuff can pretty much be saved. So, and this is cool because if you ever upgrade your PC, you won't lose your save files. They're all right there. I'm assuming if you go to a friend's house and log in or something, your cloud files will be right there. So, you know, GOG has to find ways to differentiate itself from Steam, because Steam is still kind of the behemoth there, and everybody flips the fuck out about Steam sales, but not as many people flip the fuck out about GOG sales, except I appreciate that Ragenator will call into the show whenever there is a GOG sale. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, the GOG has its proponents, but it's far outnumbered by the number of people that are still talking about Steam. So, you know, GOG has to think of these other ways to push themselves forward. Something else that Galaxy is going to be doing in 1.2, there's a new in-game overlay, so you can hit Shift-Tab, just like you can in Steam, and it brings up an overlay so you can have a chat system, notifications, achievements, and all that stuff. Also, screenshots now built in when you have F12, so that's pretty cool, which, you know, I hate to say it, but that is all functionality that does exist within Steam, but still good to try to bring, you know, a little bit of parity and you know.
Well, the other feature they said that was a pretty major feature of 1.2 is that they're going to be allowing users to customize what Galaxy's features are, so they can turn off things that they don't want to unbloat the client, basically, so they can. You know, also they have like a hibernate mode that's going to drop CPU usage and decrease battery life when you're, you know, gaming mobily or something like that. An FPS counter, bandwidth limiter, screenshot capturing, achievement rarity, stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah, you can, I think you have to be in their little preview thing or opt into betas to actually see this now. I don't think this rolls out for everybody till April, but I don't think they have a closed beta thing like Xbox One does or anything. I think you just opt in and get this client now if you want to check it out. Although it might have bugs, so don't blame me if there's bugs. All right. Does Loki have something else for us? Then maybe we'll get to mailbag here soon.
Yeah, we can talk about some of the Xbox One updates. So Xbox One is going to be adding some tournament features with their next update. So they're going to be adding support for ESL-backed tournaments in a thing called Arena. I guess World of Tanks is going to be one of the first games to support that. And you can join ranked matches and be notified of tournament progress and see the results. And they're saying that also that along with that, they're going to add some more games to it later on. They're also going to be adding the ability to upload custom gamer picks. So you can put your own gamer picks on there now instead of just whatever they're offering you, which is kind of nice. And then they're saying, though, that that's not going to be – they're going to be able to do that from your mobile phone or PC or even console. And they're – I don't really see how they're going to police that. So if you see dick pics on there, then, well, it's a work in progress. And then, of course, with that, they're allowing you to log into a Wi-Fi network, which needs browser for sign-in authenticity. So you can actually, you know, it'll pop up your browser within there if you need to do that. So, like, you're at, you know, a school or something. And then, of course, also they're allowing you to filter your library via Xbox 360 or Xbox One. You can pin items and to your activity feed and auto-zoom using Kinect when you're using Skype.
That's good, because my library on Xbox One's getting really bloated with all the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility and the games with gold. Like, there's a lot to scroll through, so I'm kind of glad they're changing that up a little bit.
Yep. Some other cool stuff. There's some they announced the games for Games with Gold for April. So you're going to get Rise on Xbox One for the whole month of April. And then I guess April 16th through May 15th, you're going to get The Walking Dead Season 2 on Xbox One. And then on Xbox 360 for the first half of April, Darksiders. And the second half, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Cool to see the Rises on there.
Yeah, Rise was one of the launch titles, right?
Yeah, so, it was.
Yeah.
And then finally, there is also some more backwards compatibility information, including they have added backwards compatibility support for Daytona USA.
Waiting to play that song for years. Years.
Always, we always need an excuse to do that. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. And so along with that, you can also, I guess, Stacking and Tower Blocks Deluxe was another two titles that were added on there.
Who fucking cares? Daytona.
Exactly. Daytona.
Sorry to the developers who worked very hard on those games.
But maybe if you included a really catchy theme song with your games,
that's right.
Then, you know.
Exactly.
So you really only have yourselves to blame for that.
Let's get to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. And we dive into the mailbag and pick some emails to read here on the show. Or in the case of this week, we have one lone email to read on the show tonight. But it's a good one, so I'm going to jump into that right now. Since Dark Soccer is not here, I will fulfill, as the runner-up at the pageant, I will fulfill her duties as queen of the show. So... participate at Orange Lounge Radio again if you want to send us an email for a future week. But this email tonight comes to us from our pal James Nighthawk, who says, "Salutations from across the pond. James Nighthawk here, writing in from England. I've been meaning to mail for a while, but as we all know, life gets in the way. I am writing to hopefully trigger further conversation about the services provided on modern gaming consoles with some different perspectives to stir into the mix. You've recently been discussing the lack of streaming services and apps available on launch for the Nintendo Switch. I agree with, or at least understand, your arguments for many of the points you have all raised. However, I would like to offer some counterpoints. Please note when reading this, I'm not sure where I stand on this matter yet, so this is all good debate from my perspective. You mentioned that the landscape has changed since the launch days of the 360, PlayStation 3, Wii era. Netflix, YouTube, et al. Are now standard parts of our lives, whereas back in 2006, the consoles were not weaker for lacking these services. This is true. The addition of Netflix and so forth to these systems arguably extended the lifespans of these consoles. I, for one, know many people for whom the Wii was the Netflix machine after the charm of Wii Sports started to wane. However, I proffer that the landscape has changed further still. Many televisions have built-in streaming services. The likes of Roku, Amazon, Fire Stick, Apple TV, and so on, each offer cheap, quick methods for streaming. Running a game's console for Netflix is arguably a needless use of electricity for many people, when a light device with a convenient remote control or a built-in smart TV app does the job better. Not to mention the phones, tablets, laptops, and so forth many of us have. Let us consider the Kindle. No, not the Kindle Fire, the humble Kindle. Kindle, the e-reader. The Kindle of today does less than the older Kindles. My first Kindle had an experimental browser. The experiment, I can only assume, was to see how long the average person would use it before rolling their eyes, guffawing comically, and grabbing any other device to browse the internet. It was slow, monochrome, and unresponsive. It was a concept, a bad concept, that went no further. The Kindle does one thing. It does books, and it does books well. When I read on my tablet, notifications tempt me away. The ease of access to social media is omnipresent. Distractions, distractions, distractions. Equally, a tablet hasn't the right kind of screen for reading lengthy texts in bed, nor are they light enough to hold in one hand for hours at a time. The Kindle does one thing, and it does it well. Now on to Nintendo. Like Rob, I've been thoroughly enjoying my Switch. I enjoy the light nature of the OS. It is snappy and simple, and when I'm using it, I'm doing one thing, I'm gaming. In an age where every device offers every service, having certain devices do one thing well is refreshing. Nintendo can't compete on gaming spec with Sony and Microsoft. They can't compete on apps with Apple or Android. What they do have in their corner are some of the most solid games in existence in a flexible form that is both portable and dockable. By providing a simple, malleable gaming system that does nothing else, they could be seen as focusing their energies. I would like to reiterate, I'm not sure if this argument holds water. It will be interesting to see what happens in the coming few years. The iPhone killed the iPod, but this is because in terms of sound quality and convenience, the iPhone made the iPod largely irrelevant. The iPhone does not make console gaming irrelevant, as touch gaming is no substitute for real controls. Equally, the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 do not make the Switch irrelevant, as they are not as flexible, nor do they have the Nintendo games. Nintendo may be onto something here. Choice is, of course, yes, this is a long email, but it's good, so I'm going to read it all. Choice is, of course, paramount. Nintendo can offer Netflix, YouTube, and so on, and I can choose not to use them, but I do wonder how vital such apps are to the sales of the system. Most Switch owners are likely swimming in app-laden devices already. They purchase or want to purchase a Switch to play Nintendo games. Indeed, for the last 5 years, Nintendo has arguably scared off potential customers. Hear ye, come play Nintendo's awesome games, they cry. Buy a Wii U for our awesome games, they exclaim. Oh, and a 3DS too for other awesome games, they siren, louder still, now with beads of sweat congealing on their collective brows. In the end, many people chose to buy neither system, baffled by the choice of hardware and the division of games. The Switch is Nintendo's chance to rally Nintendo games and Nintendo fans behind one system, a gaming system. The rest is the cream on the, hopefully very tempting, piece of gadget pudding. Thanks for reading, and I hope my English vernacular hasn't befuddled you or your listeners too much. P.S. Jamie, you might like this. Well, she's not here tonight, but we'll try to enjoy it on her behalf. Regarding your use of the word hysterical when describing the internet dickheads threatening the EA worker last week, the word hysterical is derived from the Latin hysteria, meaning womb. Hysteria was originally defined as a neurotic condition peculiar to women and thought to be caused by a dysfunction of the uterus. A rather delicious linguistic irony there. I am a fan of irony. A good day to all and to Jamie Resist, James Nighthawk. Wonderful email. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure Jamie would give you a gold star if she was here, so I will give you a gold star in her stead. I think you do bring up good points in your email, but here's the one problem for me, and I think the one thing that you overlooked in your examples, and the thing that I keep coming back to as to why am I holding Nintendo to a different standard with this whole Netflix thing. Yes, your TVs can do it. Yes, your phones can do it. But what your TV can't do is come off of the television and go into your pocket out the front door. And that's something the Switch does. And Nintendo has been selling the Switch for doing this for games, which is cool. But not all the, for lack of a better term, excuse me for this example, not all of the soccer moms out there, excuse me, football moms. I forget I'm speaking to somebody on the other side of the pond. But all joking aside, we call them soccer moms here in the U.S. So all the soccer moms out there probably aren't going to get it when it comes to games. But show them the movie, the Netflix on the TV that, oh, gotta go sit in the doctor's office for this appointment. Or obviously, you don't want to encourage people to watch TV when they drive. So they're going to have to kind of dance around that issue and that whole thing. But, you know, they could, even with the kids are watching a TV show and, oh, we got to get going to grandma's or whatever. You can pick that show up right off the TV and take it with you right on out to the car. Now, Although you may think right now with Netflix, that's not possible because Netflix requires an always stable internet connection. Remember, a few months ago, Netflix introduced the whole downloading things. So there's no reason why you couldn't queue something up on the Switch, and as you watch it, the rest of the episode downloads. So at a certain point while you're watching it, now that thing is saved on your device, that movie or whatever you're watching. I realize Netflix's onboard storage could be a challenge with this, but I downloaded a movie to watch on a plane, and it was only like 600 megabytes or something because, you know, it's only in like 720p, you know, or whatever. It's not, you know, the highest definition picture because those tablets aren't the highest definition things. But anyway, I think maybe that's my point with all this is that, okay, it's one thing to show the games up and on the go, but you could bring in even more people to buy this device for their families if you could show it with the TV as well. And that's kind of been my point. Like, otherwise, sure, I agree with you. You don't need Netflix on every single device.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Switch does it differently. And even Nintendo is trying to sell that in their argument. The Switch does gaming differently. Now you can pick it up and take it with you on the go wherever you want. So I just find it a missed opportunity, if you will, that they're not doing this with Netflix, Hulu, whatever movie technology would allow them to download on the go and all this and do it. Will they build in that technology by holiday? They might. That could be something that could happen. So I don't think this is a, you know, certainly not something they can't just, you know, backdoor into the system at some point or what have you. Is it something that's going to wreck the system if they never introduce it? Clearly not. The system's doing pretty well as it is right now. It definitely looks like it's going to have a more favorable outcome than Wii U. And if Nintendo gets what they want, it might even end up better than the Wii. But I just think those types of apps can really kind of push it beyond just gamers, you know? And I know you guys are probably rolling your eyes because you're like, wait a minute, Rob. You can't sit there and go, well, Microsoft talks about TVs and movies and all this shit too much, but yet Nintendo doesn't talk about it enough. Yeah, but the difference is the technology. It's like James said in the email. The Xbox and what it was doing was reductive to what your television can already do. The Switch offers this new thing. You can pick it up and take it on the go. You can't do that with your TV. The only thing I can think of where maybe you could do that is if you had an Apple TV and an iPhone. I suppose that may exist, but that is two separate pieces of hardware, not one piece of hardware like the Switch is. So that's all. I see it as a missed opportunity. But I think it's one Nintendo will probably inject into the system sooner rather than later. I don't know. Any thoughts, Loki?
It's just added value. And even it would be nice just to take, like, not necessarily even Netflix movies, but it'd be nice if it would just do any sort of media playbacks, you know, throw some movies onto. Because obviously, you know, you're not going to always have Wi-Fi with the Switch and stuff. So say you're going on a plane or something like that and you want to watch some movies on a flight instead of having, like, to buy a tablet or have your phone or something to do that. You throw some movies onto, you know, the SD card and away you go. That'd be just nice.
I'm reading some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Do I even know our own website? William Murderface in chat says, Sky, you could conceivably do that with a laptop or a netbook. Okay, but like seriously, I realize the demographic listening to this show is not the every demographic out there, but how many people have their laptops hooked up to their TV? Not a lot. Again, soccer moms of America. Do they all have their laptops hooked up to their TV and all this stuff? I don't think they do. You know,
or how about kids?
Laptops are kind of bulky. You know what I mean? Again, it's part of that magic of the Switch system.
Well, let's put it this way.
It just
like,
fucking works.
If I didn't have a Wii U, let's just like switch it for the Switch, because really that's what my son uses the Wii U for, is he plays games on it and he'll watch YouTube on it. So like, you know, if we didn't have the Wii U and we had the Switch instead, he could watch this, you know, YouTube on that, or like, you know, play games on that as well, like a tablet. I mean, he has a tablet now too, but he didn't always have one. And even still, even though he does have a tablet, he still prefers to play some games on there. Like, he'll want to play Minecraft on there. He has Minecraft on the tablet too, but he plays Minecraft on the Wii U because it has the controls and it's easier for him.
ActDeft in chat says, just wait for the holiday season. Netflix will be on the system by then. I do think at the end of the day, you're probably right with that. Elliot B in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, how many consoles have launched with media stuff and dropped it later? 3DS, Xbox One, Vita? Has the media stuff been dropped totally from any of those? Like,
I don't think Xbox One for sure. They've have tons of media stuff.
Yeah,
on there.
Yeah. Xbox One's still pushing that, and so does PlayStation 4. I mean, I still use a lot of Twitch on PlayStation 4, and I can understand the 3DS
because it's underpowered, and so as far as like,
I'm pretty sure 3DS still has Netflix though. Vita, see, but here's the thing with the Vita. Sony dumped the Vita, at least in America. In Japan, different story. And maybe this is the other element of all that, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, is how big is Netflix and all that stuff in Japan? And maybe that's something I need to consider, is like, is there, you know, because Nintendo is going to make decisions, not just based on what happens here in the US, but what happens in Japan. You know, would there be a need for that, to have this type of Netflix type thing where you pick up and move in Japan? Where transit is much more popular and all that stuff. Kaijudo in chat says, Vita has Netflix, just hasn't updated it. Elliot B says, Xbox One abandoned a lot of the TV stuff, right? I think that stuff where you, like, direct plug in your cable into the back and your Xbox One was basically, like, functioning as your cable box. I don't think that functionality is gone, per se, but I think it's just kind of flatlined. Like, it's not really getting updated anymore. Like, the Wii U's TV thing, that got shut the fuck down. That's gone. Like, that's something that got eliminated. But I don't think the Xbox One got rid of any of that. And certainly in the Netflix-style applications, you know, your Voodoos, your Crackles, your, you know, all the stuff that, you know, when we say Netflix, we mean all this other stuff, too. I think Xbox still has a lot of that stuff. So, but again, I think a lot of it is in just kind of, like, low-maintenance territory. You know, like, even Twitch, like, they just introduced communities on Twitch and all that stuff, right? Like, I think the mobile versions of Twitch have that now, but I'm not sure the PlayStation 4 ones do. And I haven't used the Xbox Twitch in a little while, you know, if they have that whole element in them now. So, But anyway. All right. Thanks for the email. It was still a good discussion. I still appreciate the perspective and so forth. And I realize there are a lot of you that are very happy that they're focusing on the games. Don't get me wrong. I am too. I just see it as a missed opportunity if they really want to get those Wii numbers through, or, you know, those Wii-like numbers that are in the stratosphere of selling with a game console. But, you know, we'll see. Again, I kind of think it's just going to end up there by holiday. I think the Switch today versus the Switch in December is going to look very, very, very different, which is why we did the whole time capsule joke a few episodes ago, you know, to see what that's going to look like in December. All right, if you want to email us for our future episode, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, I'm thinking Loki might have a couple more stories for us.
Yeah, well, we can also probably do release dates.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. I should probably try to find the Japanese release dates. Okay, why don't you talk about what's happening in the U.S. while I...
Sure. So this week we actually do have quite a few things coming out. So starting off, Has-Been Heroes is coming out on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Also, we have Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix and Kingdom Hearts HD 2.5 Remix coming out on PlayStation 4. MLB The Show 17 on PlayStation 4. A game called Old Time Hockey on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Parappa the Rapper remastered on PlayStation 4. Walking Dead Season 3, Episode 3 on pretty much all the different formats that that's on. PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and mobile. Attack on Titan Escape from Certain Death on the 3DS. Blue Reflection on PlayStation 4 and Vita. The Alliance Alive on 3DS. This one's actually pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to playing this. Thimbleweed Park. Remember, that was the game that was the old LucasArts style point-and-click game. It's actually done by... what's his name? I can't remember now. The guy that did the original Maniac Mansion games and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So that's...
Ron Gilbert? Yeah, Ron Gilbert. Okay. And let's see, Musou Stars on PlayStation 4 and Vita. Oh, and in case I didn't mention, Thimbleweed Park, that's Xbox One and PC, Mac, and Linux. And finally, Overload on PC, Mac, Linux, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And I want to say there was one other one on here. I didn't see it, but I know I had it on the other list here. I'm not positive because I don't see it on this list, but... I want to say Strafe, I think, was coming out this week as well. And that's kind of like a a Quake, Duke Nukem style first-person shooter game. So it's like that retro 90s stuff that's on PC.
That was a busy week. You know what else is this week? There's a patch in Final Fantasy 14, which, you know, for me, because I'm into that game, so that's a big deal. But also Final Fantasy 15, the Gladio DLC is this week, as is the Chapter 13 redo.
Ooh, so I guess I'll have to go back and play 15.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. So it's a pretty big week. I mean, Square's dumping a lot on us with the Kingdom Hearts thing, too, which even though I already... This is actually the week I've been waiting for a couple years now, because, you know, I didn't buy the Kingdom Hearts 2.5 thing when it came out, because I said, they're going to put this on PlayStation 4 eventually, just like they did Final Fantasy X remaster. So here we are. It's finally coming out, so I'm finally going to pick it up and might as well get the one, even though I did buy the Final Fantasy 1, because that was a few years ago, I bought the 1.5 or whatever on the PlayStation 3. It'll be nice to have that all on the PlayStation 4, because, you know, I'll have time to jump into another, probably 300 hours worth of RPGs in between the Mass Effect Andromeda I'm trying to still beat. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, let's travel to Japan and check out what's coming out over there. Over in Japan this week on March 28th, I got to push out to March 30th to get to Chaos Child Love Choo Choo on the PlayStation 4. Musou Stars also out there as well this week. Also in Japan, ReZero Kata Hajimeru Isekai Sekatsu Death of Kiss in regular and limited edition, and Darius Burst Chronicle Saviors also out in Japan this week. Lastly, Blue Reflection Maboroshi Ni Mao Shouju no Ken also out in Japan this week. And then on the Vita this week, that Musou Stars also being released on the Vita. Zero Kara Hajimaru Isekai Seikatsu Death of Kiss, also on the Vita, as is Tokyo Xanadu, Blue Reflection Maboroshi Ni Mao Shusho no Ken, and Chaos Child Love Choo Choo. So a lot of those same games on PlayStation 4 are also on the Vita over in Japan. Lastly, checking the Switch, I don't think there's anything out on the Switch. It looks like there's one game. There's Sangokushi 13 with a power-up kit, and I think this is another one of those like Romance of the Three Kingdoms types of games that's out on the Switch this week over in Japan. So there you go. The UK. Do you happen to have those handy, Loki? Or
yes, I do.
Ooh, thank gosh. Saves the day. What's up going on in the UK?
So in the UK, we've got Strafe coming out on PC and Mac. We've got Snake Pass on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And last but not least, Atari Flashback Classic Volume 1 and Classic Volume 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Those have been out here for a little bit. It's yeah. it's like just getting a flashback console, but in game form, so whatever.
Yeah, so that's it.
All right. Let's see. You got some more news for us to talk about?
Sure. Let's talk about Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It's turned 20.
Oh, my God.
It's been a long time.
Congratulations. Everybody's old.
Exactly. Let's see. So this is a little bit of drama, but... there's that game Yooka-Laylee that's coming out, and apparently a YouTuber by the name of John Tron or John Jafari, who you may have recognized from social media recently because he said some choice things, he has been dropped from the game because of his comments. You know, Playtronic basically made the comment. John Tron is a talented video presenter who we were initially, 2 years ago, happy to include as a voice contributor in our game. However, in light of the recent personal viewpoints, we have made the decision to remove John Tron's inclusion from the game via a forthcoming content update. We would like to make it absolutely clear that we do not endorse or support John Tron's personal viewpoints, and that as an external fan contributor, he does not represent Playtronic in any capacity. So, drama be drama.
Welp. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequence. That's all it is.
Very true. Yes. Yeah, so,
that's what it boils down to. And I got nothing else to say about that. What's up next?
Kind of with you. So, how do we follow that? That's. Let's see. What should we talk about next?
I should have had the little bleep bleep. That's all, folks, queued up because that seems the only thing that's appropriate for that moment.
Yeah. So
let's just follow that with some awkward silence.
Well, since we just talked about the anniversary of Symphony of the Night, I think it's only fair that we talk a little bit about Bloodstained. So Bloodstained, I mean, I'm sure this is going to come as a shock. It's officially not coming out for the Wii U. I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So basically, they said, you know,
I feel like we've reported this three times now.
I think we just assumed that it wasn't coming out for the Wii U, but now it's not officially coming out. So, you know, thank you for supporting us. And he said, you know, people that backed the Wii U version, you know, during the campaign, the Wii U was the height of popularity. And because of, you know, okay, maybe that's a little stretch, but whatever.
Those are some very nice things.
It was at the height of its popularity.
That's fair.
Yes. But the situation has drastically changed after the release of the Nintendo Switch. This change has made it difficult to receive the necessary support from the hardware maker, which has led us to drop the Wii U development and shift the development to the Nintendo Switch. Well, that sucks if it's Nintendo's fault that they're not able to do that, but
okay, wait, I got to hear more about this comment over on chat over at live.vognover.com. Stoppy in chat says, Kickstarter scans and under-delivers once again. Are you mad it's not coming to Wii U because you don't have a Switch yet? I mean, I guess that's the one section of people I could see that are pissed, is that you own a Wii U, but you don't own a Switch because you don't have the money for a Switch yet. So you were kind of hoping to get this game on Wii U. For the most, I imagine most people that are Nintendo fans have already moved on to the Switch or will be planning to by the time this game comes out, because it's still a next year game, right? Still 2018. Yeah. So there's still plenty of time to get on board with the Switch or what have you. So I'm assuming, most Nintendo people are going to make that Switch. However, I also know money ain't everything, or, you know, money ain't everywhere. So some people really, you know, you can't just go out and buy a Switch today. Like, you have to save up and do that. So it's kind of, it can probably be irritating if you bought this game already with Kickstarter or what have you, and then now here it is that it's not even going to be coming out on the Wii U, it's going to come out on the Switch. Yeah. Oh, Stoppy says, I was being sarcastic. Oh, okay.
Fooled you.
Well, damn it. I was actually looking for some counter perspective here. Where every gamer has a voice, even your sassy-ass voice. All right. So, okay. So, but I guess that is the only counterpoint I can think of, is that, you know, not everybody can just run out and buy a Switch. But you do have a year to save up. So, you just start putting $5 in the piggy bank every week and, you know.
So here's another thing, a little kind of tease, I guess. The official Secret of Mana Twitter account has shown a clip of Seiken Densetsu 3 running on the Switch. Of course, you know, that game never left Japan, and it is a Japanese Twitter account. It looks like it might be running in Virtual Console.
Oh, did you see the follow up for this? They actually did release this. They did announce the Seiken Densetsu collection. So that was official. So you must have missed that. That's okay.
I did miss
that's,
that.
That's why I'm here. They are going to release in Japan, and I think it's in June. Somebody in chat, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Because again, we're winging it tonight. If you're just joining us, we didn't get to produce tonight's show due to some website errors that were happening. So we're winging it a little bit. So that's okay that Loki didn't pick this up. But oh yeah, when I saw this come out on Twitter, I was all over this. So it's official. The Seiken Densetsu collection is happening. So it's going to be 1, 2, and 3. So that's Secret of Mana and Seiken Densetsu 3, and then what is Final Fantasy Legend on Game Boy here, will all be released on one Switch cart in Japan. Now, because the Switch is region free, you could buy that here in the US as well.
Yes.
However, all those games are still in Japanese. And the pack is going to cost, like, was it 4,500 yen? It's going to be at least $40 for three old games. Now, you know, they're not just any three old games.
4,800 yen.
Yeah, okay, 4,800 yen. So again, that's around like $45, $40. So if they release that in the U.S., I don't know. Are they going to translate those games for the U.S.? We'll have to see what happens with that. I think that could be huge, though. I think there will be people that will pay $40 for an English translation of Second Densetsu 3. It doesn't matter that game is fucking old.
Yeah,
people are going to pay.
Translate Mother 3, they would probably pay a lot of money for that, too.
You know what? Depending on Loki, this is a different time now. I think that may not necessarily be off the table, if that makes sense. Especially if they do translate this to English, and it does well. And I don't want to get too excited. I'm tempering my enthusiasm because I don't expect that they're going to go back and make an English translation of Second Densetsu 3. And, well, do you want to hear my controversial opinion
sure,
on this?
Sure, why not?
Why not? Why not? Let Rob get some hate mail for a change, because not everybody's going to agree with me on this. I think they should just snatch the translation that's already been done and put it out. And some of you are going to be like, the fuck? Like, that was a fan translation that people did. Yeah, well.
What are you going to do about it?
It was Square's game. What are they going to do about it? Like,
you going to sue them?
It was Square's game that y'all translated so you could play it free in an emulator for a year.
That would suck.
It's time for Square to get some of their money back, so to speak. Again, I know that opinion is not going to be popular, but
it is something they could do.
Like, if that's what they have to do to get the game out in English,
it may be what they're doing. Remember, there was the virtual console games that had ROM dumps that were done by other people that somehow ended up in there. So it's possible they could do that.
JD in chat says, "What's the licensing on the fan translation?" The answer I'm giving is, doesn't matter. Again, I know that's not an opinion everybody's going to like, but does it matter? It was Square Enix's game. It was their words
originally,
right?
It technically still is their game, and they could, I guess, argue that, you know, you're in violation of copyright by reverse engineering, you know, the game. So they could take it down, you know, the fan translation, even though that is something that people do.
Now, JD does have a more reasonable counter argument here, saying the game company's lawyers are not going to use it unless the translation was done under the most like copyleft license, meaning it was, you know, a broad license or whatever, because it leaves them open to a lawsuit. But I mean, it's just words. It would be interesting. I'm just saying it would be interesting. Now, I don't think that's what Square is really going to do. If they're now to put all this wank aside,
they could
Square
they,
would localize it them damn
they
themselves.
Could they
could
do it.
To.
It'd be morally wrong. I think
it's going to be a very strange.
That
would be.
They
a hell
could
of a
do
case.
It because I mean it's a big company versus just some people that did it for fun. They're the
who
people
may not even care anymore. I don't know.
They don't have the money to back to defend themselves. So I mean, really, a big company could do this, though people might not think too highly of them after they did that. But I don't know.
Interesting. So Elliot B in chat says it's just words. Me pirating a million ebooks. Here's the thing, though. Did the fan translation? Didn't they translate words that were already written?
Technically, yes. But they may
or did they rewrite it?
They may have done both.
Okay, if they rewrote it, then I get that argument a lot more than if they just translated what was already written. Because then I think that's a little
it's
apples and
oranges.
It's
technically derivative, but I don't know. That would be kind of a weird gray area. I don't know how that would necessarily work.
Let's see. Black Wolf in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says podcasts are just words. Well, I can make money off this show. When's that going to happen? it's only year 15.
Well, you see, we need to have a Kickstarter and then a Patreon.
Oh, that's right. I got to tell people it costs $35,000 a year to do a podcast. That's right. I got to tell them we have studio fees to pay for, and you know we have to pay people to
listen.
You know,
the hookers aren't
going to
pay
us.
For themselves. Okay,
that's right. I forgot about all that stuff. All right. Anyway,
buying pizza almost every week is expensive.
Anyway, all this wank aside and the shade y'all are throwing at me, it's not going to happen. If Square Enix does the English translation, they will do it themselves in-house, and we'll see. I'm just curious if they are going to do it or not, because that is going to be resources that are way more than probably packaging these three games otherwise on the Switch. But the whole wild card with this is the fact that it is region free. You will be able to buy this and it will play on your North American Switch. So surely Square Enix has to realize that. But, you know, I doubt there are a ton of gamer people there in North America that are
where money
fluent
can be,
in Japanese.
Where it's all math. So if the money if it makes sense for them and they can make money from it, then they'll do it. It's all about what investment they put in and what the return is going to be.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So let's hope that they experiment with something and it does well. Then it just leads more other things. Yeah. mean, come on, how long would it take to translate a game like that? You already have people doing it. They could kind of crib some of that shit. I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
Don't open that door again. I already got enough shade. I will say this. It is, at this point, old technology. So do they have all the old Super Nintendo stuff available to go in and crack the ROMs the way they could, you know, 20 years ago? I'm not sure. That may be the thing, is that they don't have the tools to do it anymore. That's like handing me an audio reel and asking me to edit it together when it's like, dude, everything went digital years ago.
They don't have the tools. I was unaware that these companies have no access to the internet. It's just so befuddling to me that they couldn't figure this out. Yeah, I think if people that are not associated with this company can make tools to do that, I'm pretty sure these companies can make tools to do that if they don't already have tools. Because guess what? They put out virtual console games, so they obviously have some shit to adjust those ROMs. Come on. Don't quit before you've even started.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to another story.
All right, so this is kind of fun. Speaking of, like I was talking about that whole water festival thing, guess what came out with the water festival thing for Pokemon Go?
The fucking thing breaking my Pokemon Go Plus all the time now, whatever that version update is?
Yes, it does that, but no, I'm talking about something that'd be more interesting to a certain somebody that listens to the show and also has a show on our network who happens to be obsessed by this. Shinies.
That's right. Only Magikarp.
Only Magikarp. But they have a shiny Magikarp now. And so, yeah, it's a yellow Magikarp that turns into a red Gyarados.
By the way, for the record, I on the way to the movie, I asked said person about that, like, we were right by. He was good. I had to get work done on my car this weekend, so he was good enough to come pick me up at the car place so we could go to the movie while I was getting the car worked on. And the car is right by one of the big Ingress farms out in Folsom, right? So I was like, oh, well, while we're here, do you want to just drive through? Because I know this is a big farm for Ingress, so it's got to be a ton of Pokestops. Do you want to drive through and get Pokeballs? He's like, I don't play Pokemon Go. I was like, did you not hear about the Shinies? Which, by the way, if y'all want to know what happened to Pokestop Podcast, that's what happened to Pokestop Podcast. Just saying.
All right. Anyways, so this is another thing that's going on with the Nintendo Switch. So there's this company, Game Truck, who does these like mobile trucks that you can rent, and they bring them to locations. They have games inside of them. Well, Nintendo's partnered with them now, and they're going to have some. They're going to be 100 of the Game Trucks are going to have playable versions of 1-2 Switch and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on Switch systems. And, of course, they're going to be adding Mario Kart 8 later on when it comes out in April. So you can reserve your Game Truck now, and they're going to have that promotion going on through the June 20th. That sounds like incredibly boring. Like, I mean, I get it, like, Game Truck thing and stuff, but, like, who would want to watch you play Zelda? It's a one-player game. Like, I get mobile, like, get, like, you know, some land stuff going on there, and, you know, Mario Kart would be a good choice for that, but it's like, I'm playing Zelda. Wow, that's cool.
Isn't that what Twitch lets me do? Like, ooh, I'm playing Zelda. Other people can watch me. But that's Twitch. I mean, shit, even the PlayStation 4 share play, if I don't want to be public about it, because Twitch is very public, right? But I've done that where I play on share play on PlayStation 4, so it's private, so that I'm not actually streaming online. I'm just streaming for somebody who, you know, wanted to see the game that can ask specific questions or whatever.
That's a very, it's like, it's just like a, I don't know, camper show, like a not mobile home, but like a camper that they have games inside. It's a very small room. They have like this stupid video on their website where all the kids are like cheering that the truck's coming down the street. I'm like, no, they're not. No, they're not doing that. But like, they're all playing. Let's see, what games are they playing? They're playing Halo. They're playing fucking Halo.
They should have had those pictures of Donald Trump driving the truck.
That's... They're playing. They have 8-player LAN Halo going on.
Okay. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. See, a mature rated game, by the way. Nobody gives a shit about the fucking, M-rated games. We had a conversation about this with some of the parents because they were talking about, like, you know, oh my god, that game has sexuality. That game doesn't have sex in it. Because my son plays Call of Duty and, like, that stuff, you
know. No, just blowing people's faces off.
Yeah, I'm
guns,
like, yeah, I'm, you're fine with people, you know, blowing heads off, but you're not fine with sex. Yeah,
don't,
that's right.
Don't show him that scene from Mass Effect Andromeda, because I'm telling you. Titty, Loki. There's full-on titty in that game.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Should we open up Skypeline? Want to open that up?
Let's do it.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you'd like to give us a call. We'll talk about whatever. Or maybe we missed something that you want to talk about tonight. We can certainly do that. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can do it that way too. Actually, no, you can't, because we got a call coming in right now. So let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's...
Hey, you're cutting up a little bit there, but I think it's Rama, right, Rama?
Yeah, I just had to finish doing a bunch of rebuilding on my machine, so it's a little temperamental right now.
Yeah, I'm getting that echo thing, too, but what's on your mind?
Well, two things. Earlier in tonight's broadcast, you talked about, you know, people being gay and lesbian. And my thing is this. I don't care what you are. Are we still going to the bar later? Yes or no?
Perfect. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
Exactly. Do whatever you want to do that makes you attractive. As long as you're happy, fuck it. I don't care. As long as we can still chill, hang out, have a good time, that's all that matters.
Thank you very much. That and equal tax laws, that's all we ask.
And secondly, the whole JonTron thing, I'm just going to put it like this. When you are that type of person where you do camming, web shows, podcasting, you should not use that platform for your own political thoughts and views. It's one thing to tell your listeners to fight for what you believe in, as opposed to saying, well, my views is da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the way it should be. And if you know you have controversial views after they're thrown out there the first time, maybe you should just kind of, like, keep that shit to yourself.
Well... It's complicated.
It's complicated.
Oh, I know. I know.
Because we sometimes say political things on this show.
But
as I mentioned a minute ago, I haven't made a dime off this show in 15 years.
Yeah, but Rob, the difference is what you've said on here isn't really political. It's like it is, but at the same time, it's not. It, you say it in the aspect of, you know, what is wrong in this world and what we have to do, as opposed to going against the grain. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, I do. And I would never encourage hateful rhetoric, ever.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm hearing myself through your speakers, so I have to wrap up a little bit. But any other last thoughts for us, Rama?
No last thoughts. I will be up for a while putting my machine back together.
All right, have fun.
All right, have fun.
You too.
We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Bye.
Talk to you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Anime Jam Session, of course, Tuesday nights here at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Sorry, I hate cutting Rama short, but could you guys hear it too? I mean, I know you could hear it in the studio.
Yeah,
you can hear
it.
Myself coming back through, right? I don't know if that carried over the air, but that was a lot going on there. Let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, hello. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Elliot B.
Hi, Elliot B. Wow, aren't you on the other side of the pond?
Not any longer. I actually moved to New York last year.
Oh, well, welcome, I suppose, even though I'm a year late. But what's on your mind? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was lucky enough to pick up a Nintendo Switch on Tuesday. I went by the Nintendo store at lunchtime because I work in Midtown Manhattan. And they said, oh, we don't have any in stock at the moment. But if you subscribe to, you know, if you follow us on Twitter. So I turned on Twitter notifications on my phone. And they happened to, and then 15 minutes later, they tweeted, oh, we're going to have some in stock at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was at 2:30, I think. So I rushed out my office and, got in line. There was about 20 people ahead of me already by that point. Yeah, I got one. So I've been playing tons and tons of Zelda.
Congratulations. That's kind of a miracle that you happen to be in the right place and see that tweet and everything. That's everything lining up perfectly. That says a lot, too, that 20 people were still there ahead of you. My question is, how many of those 20 people were scalpers? Dirty, filthy scalpers?
That's a good question. I don't know. I was only speaking to the people. There were a couple of people in front of me. There was like a 15-year-old kid with his dad. I don't know how they both managed to get there, you know, with 10 minutes, but yeah, it seemed like genuine fans in the queue. It didn't seem good. Like in the line. Sorry, I'm still learning American English.
That's okay. We can figure some of the things out. Like we know a lift. We know a lift is an elevator. You know, same thing. We figure it out.
It's also not a taxi here. Yeah,
it's not. What?
A lift.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did. Sorry, that was a little too complex for even me. I'm a big stupid American. I don't understand. Anyway, so you've been playing Zelda on the Switch, and it sounds like you're having a good time?
Yes, I just beat the first Divine Beast today. And yeah, so and I'm sort of like, I beat that bit, and then I'm used to kind of past Zelda. They're like, okay, now go on to the desert or something. And now they're like, yeah, you've got this huge entire map that you can now explore. And it's kind of overwhelming. But no, I'm loving the game. It's sort of, I was thinking, do you remember when the first trailers came out for Twilight Princess?
Yes.
The Zelda that I was imagining from that trailer, this feels like that game, finally, like a decade later.
A decade late. But no, I mean, just the openness of it. I mean, even Twilight Princess, I mean, I still enjoy Twilight Princess for what it is, but you know, you were still in these narrow areas where your exploration was very limited. Or at least in hindsight, I mean, I don't know, it didn't feel so limiting at the time. It just kind of felt like the way games were. But now in retrospect, hell yeah, those games feel so limiting compared to how open Breath of the Wild is, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Are you playing anything besides Zelda on the Switch? Because we know everybody with the Switch is probably playing Zelda, but have you checked anything else out?
Not really. I downloaded there's a demo. The only demo on the store is for that game. It's a co-op game where you have to cut each other out.
Oh, the Snipperclips.
Snipperclips, yeah. Which I quite like the demo too. It's kind of hilarious. Have you played it?
I actually have a little bit. A friend of ours had it and brought it over. We were playing for. I was watching him and Alan play. I didn't get to play a lot, but I did play a little bit of it, and it was. It's definitely because it's a puzzle game. You have to kind of communicate. But I was getting really frustrated at one of the puzzles because I'm like, this is too hard.
Yeah, but my girlfriend and I were playing the demo, and I was getting so frustrated with her that I thought if I actually dropped the $20 on the real game, it might lead to some sort of breakup. So.
That's not good.
Not to throw shade on her gaming abilities or anything, but yes. It requires a lot of cooperation and a lot of trying to explain. Yeah, if you cut me in kind of exactly that, you know, that exact shape, yeah, like more of a curve sort of thing.
Well, don't get Mario Kart or Mario Party either, because those games can also end relationships. So be careful. Be careful.
Very true. Well, that probably is the next game I'm going to get, Mario Kart. I'm looking forward to that one. I need a good multiplayer game for this system.
I'm looking forward definitely to the multiplayer capabilities when you're in one room. I don't know if you do like the conventions and all that stuff or, you know, just meetups with other gamers, but I think something like Mario Party is really going to kick ass in that sort of setting.
I just love the idea of carrying it somewhere and breaking out the Joy-Cons and passing them around.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, well, congratulations on getting a Switch and getting down there to the store with, oh gosh, in 20 minutes. That's amazing that you were able to get over there so fast and end up getting a Switch when, well, hopefully more will become available, as what Loki was saying earlier, but there's still a scarcity right now, so.
It's amazing. They're out of stock in about half an hour.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well,
That's better than what the NES Classic Mini.
Which is... Whatever happened to that?
Oh, I'm sure they have one monkey working on that now. I mean,
I don't know about that. I think they're trying to get us to forget about that system, even though it was like the biggest thing at Christmas. But whatever. All right. Well, Elliot, thanks for the call, and good to hear from you.
Yeah, cool.
Keep enjoying
Happy
the Switch,
evening, you guys.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, Loki, I'll check in with you once again here before we. Close up the Skype line. See if you have any other stories you want to get out here.
No. I think we covered pretty much everything.
What?
Well, there's one article that's about Nintendo not necessarily going towards microtransactions and their mobile platforms. So they're saying, you know, I guess the Super Mario Run did not meet their expectations in terms of actually making money, even though it was downloaded 78 million times.
And they just released it on Android this week, too, which is
right.
Kind of a
they
big
said
deal,
that
right?
A they said that about 4 of the 78 million people, or 4 million of those, did buy the game, which is about 5%.
So they made $40 million. Well, no, because the store, because Apple and so forth get a cut of what, about 30%, right? So they made
like 20 some odd million dollars on
it. Yeah, okay. If you let's say we'll say half the money because marketing, et cetera. I mean, they probably made more than $20 million, but still, we'll say that.
For an Android game, I think that's pretty damn good.
Interesting. Well, maybe they learned some things in the whole experience.
Well, the Android version just came out. So, I mean, that was only a small portion of the marketplace out there.
They did wait an awful long time to put that on Android. I don't know if they had some sort of deal with Apple where they couldn't.
Well, remember, I thought they were worried about the whole, like, copy protection garbage or something.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's a weird thing to worry about, but whatever.
Yeah, they were worried about piracy on the Android. That's what they were worried about. But I mean, but that didn't stop them with what, Fire Emblem. Although Fire Emblem like consistently talks to the so does Super Mario Run. I was gonna say Fire Emblem has to continuously.
Yeah,
talk to the
it does.
Server.
It does, because my son is in the middle of a level and I had to reset the router and he's like, "Dad, it stopped working."
Oh no,
which is stupid. Yes, it is absolutely stupid.
You kicked your son off the game. You're so cruel.
I know. All right. So terrible.
One more shout out for calls, and then we'll close up the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, Rama and Chad agreeing they should have gone to Android first, bigger install base. I don't necessarily agree they needed to go to either one first. Just don't make it, like, how many months has it been since it came out on
iPhone?
Well, they're
saying that even
don't
though
go that long.
Even the whole thing point was, though, even though they didn't make as much as they had thought they would on Super Mario Run, and even though Fire Emblem Heroes is doing pretty good even with the microtransactions, they said they still want to stick with that kind of one price point format, that they don't sell the microtransactions. I think it's because they're kind of used to that, which is good. I mean, any company to get out of microtransactions is a good thing, I think.
All right. Well, I guess nobody else is calling us, Loki. I think that's going to wrap it up for the Skype line. But if you were just being shy, you can always email us as well. participate@orangeloungetrader.com if you'd like to send us an email. Otherwise, I think that's probably going to do it for tonight's OLR. Not bad for having no production really going into tonight's episode, but luckily, we had a game to rant about for a little while at the top of the show there. So, hopefully, Darkstalker is feeling better, and we'll be back next week. We're also going to be joined, as mentioned, next week by SAC IGDA in preparation for the SAC Indie Arcade event. I do want to remind people there will be no show that Sunday. So, April 9th, there will not be an OLR, because April 8th, we will have been broadcasting all day long, and just there. There's so much going on that weekend. I have not just one now, but two people coming in from out of town. So I have plans. I know I have a rough life, right? But I have plans Friday night. I have plans all day Saturday. And now I have plans Sunday night, when we would usually be doing OLR. It's just like when it rains, it pours. But I'm looking forward to that weekend. It'll be a lot of fun. It will. So looking forward to broadcasting from the SAC Indie Arcade event. We'll talk to Gabe about that next week. And hopefully Bree will be here too, whoever else might be coming from the event. And then we'll be doing that on Saturday. I'm hoping maybe we can wrap all the post-production of that up real fast, so that maybe Sunday night instead of OLR, if you miss the broadcast on Saturday, I'm not going to promise this yet till I know I can turn it around fast, but maybe we can rerun it on into Sunday night when OLR would usually be on. That's what I'm going to try to aim for. So that way, because even though it is quote unquote all day, it really only ends up being like 5 hours, maybe. So
yeah, okay.
We'll see. All right. I think that's going to do it. Let's go around and get final thoughts. I do have to give, of course, a quick shout out, as always. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But, not if the voices ain't here. So a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google or wherever it is you found this show, that all goes an awful long way as well. So we really appreciate all of that. But otherwise, do we have any final thoughts from Loki tonight?
I ordered some filament in preparation for my printer to be shipped at some point. And I don't know. But I ordered orange filament and purple filament. So maybe I'll make something related with one of the shows.
Why not?
Why not?
That'll be fun. There you go.
It's one of the orange on the printer, though.
So. Yeah, start cranking out some stuff I can give away at Dragon Con this year.
Okay.
You're a factory now.
A factory.
All right. That's it. My final thought tonight is I'm looking forward to enjoying more Mass Effect because, yes, overall I am enjoying it and trying to get better at multiplayer because right now it's pretty hideous, you guys. It's pretty hideous. We'll see you in 7 days to do it all over again. But until then, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks again for tuning in and staying with us. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.